flavored game. I am entitling this Steam, Steel, and Murder. The background and history to this world will become apparent as we play. One of my intents is that while your characters know exactly what date and time it is in reference to themselves, you as players will not. I'm keeping it kind of nebulous. The moral standards, the dress, and the area that you're starting the game, very much on the surface appears to be 1800s New York. So that will give you some idea of how people speak and act with each other and the kind of dress and other customs. Technology level, however, is very similar to what we have now, but things are not as streamlined and miniaturized. Things tend to be bulky. They tend to be very ornate, as they are all made by hand. While scientific progress has happened, the ability for things to be mass-produced has been curtailed by the guilds, who control pretty much the production of just about everything. So Industrial Revolution never really got a foot. And tonight we have with us Kaitanos. You are playing
Wallace Thurman.
Tell us a little bit about Wallace, particularly what Wallace looks like.
Wallace is a 5'7" man, a bit lanky. He's wearing a suit and a great coat with a stovepipe hat, but they look a little dirty, a little low quality. He has brown hair, green eyes, and a very plain, unrecognizable face.
All right, and Marcus, you are playing.
I am playing Daniel Bishop. I'm guessing what the description up here. Daniel Bishop is essentially, he's a middleman contractor. He's the guy who's well connected and knows everyone. He's blonde hair, about average height, 5'10". Deep blue eyes, and he has a couple pairs of suits, but normally he only has a few since he is a soldier.
Sounds good. And Abel.
And my character is Drina Erbauer. She is a power tool hero and mother of 8 kids. She's just a short, very wiry woman. Usually found in a workshop, pulling gears and wheels and engines out of things. Always carries a large wrench on her belt. And she always seems to have like that smudge of grease on one cheek, no matter whatever the occasion or however much she tries to remove it, it always seems to... Somehow, if there's any grease in the vicinity, it just finds a way to mar her cheek.
Very nice, very nice. Well, I believe all of you are working as contractors in the city of Metapole, where you are finding yourself. The city of Metapole has 8 great guilds that make up the city. And if you can imagine each of the guilds being on the edge of the city and the city proper as a disc, from each great guild there is a main road that leads to the heart of the city where the Tesla power plant and Tesla's guild as well rests at the heart of the city. Between the spokes of each of these roads, the city is broken into districts, and currently you are in District 8, which is considered to be kind of the low-rent district, as it finds itself between the Transporters Guild, who they have the purview of moving items back and forth between cities, intercities. They also have a lot to do with the Labor Guild, which is at the other side of the district. And they're basically manual labor, heavy lifting, any kind of manpower that you can manage to need or get. And this district, District 8, is their home. And as they are some of the more lower paid members of society, this is your low rent district. However, you fellows find yourself in a warehouse where you've been summoned by the local police, and contracts have been signed. Pending your investigations, a nominal fee as well as bonuses will be paid, as is your normal contract with the police. You have with you a member of the police that is escorting you through this area, basically using her clout to get into the warehouse, which is guild-owned. Her name is Elizabeth Blair. Elizabeth is a tall, lanky woman, light blue, almost steel blue eyes, and very, very blonde hair, which is cut to a very severe, almost military manner. She is meeting you here, and her police escorts have just let you into the warehouse. This is not the first time the three of you have met. You have worked on various cases together before. And I'll let you manage, figure out exactly what grudges you bear.
I try not to make direct eye contact with her. Mm-hmm.
So where are we headed here?
The scene in the warehouse, it's rows upon rows of metal shelving with brown paper parcels that are wrapped in twine. Each of them has a white tag, a linen tag, with a number stamped on them. It goes for, as far as your eye can see in the warehouse, it just rows upon rows of these metal shelves. You are led to the very back of the warehouse where you see this must be the more secure area. As you now have more of a bank vault appearance, there are niches in the walls that have metal caps with the kind of turnstile dials you would use. You can think of the old type of safes that had the big, what would you call them, submarine-type doors.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular area, you see that there is a body laying on the floor. One of the doors have been wrenched off of the wall, laying near this guy. And this is where you're led, and Elizabeth is standing here to greet you.
Question. When you said work with before, have we worked with each other before or the police?
You've worked with each other at least once before. You guys can work out how well you trust or distrust one another, but you're at least familiar with one another.
I've been a bit for Abel. My character is not someone you'd want anywhere near your kids. He's a bit of a sleazeball and, with your mother's intuition, untrustworthy.
Fair enough. What is your character's name, Titanus?
Wallace Thurmer.
All right, why are we gathered here?
Miss Blair looks at each of you with her cold, cold blue eyes. She's always been kind of disapproving, but is very good to open certain doors for you and to gather information where your own current status may not be able to. She nods at each of you, and she looks kind of expectant as if more were coming. After a moment or two, though, she pulls out a clipboard, marks a couple of names off, and deigns to speak to you.
Static Storm.
Not hearing you.
That's because it's from you.
It is?
No, from Bert.
Ah, let me pause.
Sounds like you're in the middle of a snowstorm.
Really? Okay, 1 second.
If familiarity is the case, then what you get is my character acts nice most of the time around people he hasn't met or doesn't know, but he's really just a deceitful scumbag.
All right, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Any better?
And what's your character like personality-wise?
Hmm. what, Adrina? She is a no-nonsense woman. She's not somebody. She's not a bad person. She doesn't go looking for trouble. You know, she doesn't start fights. She just ends them.
And Bishop?
Jovial kind of guy. Likes to get to know everyone. Tries to be everyone's friend. Except he knows when to avoid people and knows who's going to be cause trouble.
The smile fades off my face.
Exactly.
So close.
Pardon for just a second. I am getting something restarted over here. Apparently my USB port fuzzed out.
I'd say that's pretty accurate to describe what we heard.
Okay.
All right.
Back in functioning again, apparently. Okay, well, she greets you all. She's worked with all of you at least once before. Looks through her clipboard, says, well, looks like we have a contract with you guys to find out what's going on here. We've got a dead body. She toes the corpse on the floor. This was reported into us by the guilds last night. Transporters Guild. Labor Guild gave us a call a couple of hours after that, so looks like they both have some kind of interest in this warehouse here and want us to look into it. And, you know, as budgeting's been difficult lately, the the police force is a little strained, but our budget for outside contractors is flush, so we're going to use you as stand-ins. I take it you all are looking to make an income today. She looks at each of you.
Almost definitely.
I'm not here for my help.
Ah, yes, money's always appreciated. Thank you very much.
I will let you gentlemen and lady do what you do. I'm going to sit over here. She kind of turns around, looks for a place to park herself. Wipes off a crate, sits down, thinks better of it, lays the cloth she wiped it off with down, and sits on that, and continues to stare at you.
All right, so what is this corpse here?
Well, it's a man. He has a very large greatcoat on. It's rent in a couple of places. Big wet splotch in the center of his back. Looks to be spreading. Doesn't look to be blood, though. It looks like it's some liquid. It's not blood. Not quite sure what it is from just peering down at him, though. He has two large metallic gloves on. They look to be pretty scratched up, scraped. And the vault's lid is laying a couple of feet to the left of his head. Looks like it was just wrenched right off the wall.
I kind of shuffle his clothing around, move the great spot to the side, see what that weird liquid is.
Sure. It is water. He has a steam-powered device strapped to his back. Apparently its boiler had cooled and its water tank has sprung a leak.
What does it do? Like, it's gotta be attached to something.
Yeah, well, it's strapped onto his back with leather buckles. It has copper and brass coils that kind of reach across his arms, and attach to the metallic gloves, and they go down his legs, down inside of his boots.
Strength increase.
I look around the area, see if there's any signs of a break-in.
Okay, very good.
Would you like a roll for that?
Yes, please. And give me just 1 second here. I need to shuffle some...
All right, so can I roll my burglary skill? I know how to do it, so I'd know how it's done.
Well, what are you trying to ascertain? Are you trying to figure out how they broke in?
Or if they even broke in, yeah.
Or if it was broken. Okay. Well, the skill for that is not necessarily burglary right away. What I would like you to do is give me an investigation roll if you have it.
I don't.
When you look at things, there's basically two skills involved. And as we go along, since we're learning a new system, I'm just going to explain what you're rolling and why, okay?
All right.
Alertness is your passive awareness. It's what I will have you roll if it's just something you kind of just notice without actively looking for it. If you are looking around for a trail, you're looking for footprints, you're trying to figure out, you know, get the lay of the land, that's investigation. That's an active examination of your area. Okay, now burglary, in your case, would be good for figuring out, for instance, how one would break into this place if you were trying to. A lot of what you're going to find in the system is you're going to tell me your intent. Okay, what is it you intend for your character to do versus just saying, I'm looking around? Well, you know, so what I'm asking you as a person who's a burglar, what is his intent? Are you looking to see, hey, was this place broken into? Or I'm just going to look around and see what I find. So,
hey, was this place broken into? Check what I think would be the best spots to do it.
There we go. So give me a burglary roll, which is you roll your 4 fudge dice there. You add your skill level in burglary.
All right. I got a -2 +1 +3.
You got a 3. Okay. That's not a bad success. In this game, you get to decide if you want to tap an aspect after you roll. Okay. You don't have to declare it beforehand. If you want your roll to be higher, you can declare to me, for instance, that you are a master thief and you are experienced at breaking into places. You can declare this, spend a fate point, and you can either add a +2 to your roll or you can re-roll your entire roll. Now, Kaitanos or Mr. Wallace, are you satisfied with your +3?
I'm satisfied. I don't want to spend a fate chip on something I might not even find anything with.
A +3 is not bad. You do find that the place was broken into. It was an amateur job. They basically just smashed in the front door. They didn't even attempt to pick the lock.
I roll my eyes and shout out to the others. This place was broken into.
I go over to the body and I want to try and figure out kind of was look for actual wounds on the body itself, like stab, bullet wounds, anything like that.
Okay. And do you perhaps have any skills that would help in that?
Investigate.
Some things that might work on this. Investigation will give you an overview, but if investigation does not come with the knowledge skill of being a doctor or a medical worker, however. So we'll give you basic information.
Basic bruising, that's what I wanted.
There we go. Okay, so give me an investigation roll.
One success.
One success. Are you happy with that?
Yes.
Okay. He's dead. There's no obvious wounds, no knife wounds. Let's get this out of the way while we're at it. Slug throwing guns are not very common. Most things are electrical, stun rods, stun guns, that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, any kind of slug throwing weapon is prohibited and illegal in the city. They do exist. They're just not very prevalent. Reason for this being the Tesla plant at the center of the city broadcast power to everyone in the city. That's kind of why the city's laid out in a ellipse or circular pattern. That is the limit of which you can get power. And almost every device that you use will be pulling power through the ether. So little stun guns are quite common. Each of you probably have one.
Or two.
The police either carry stun batons, stun staves, or longer ranged stun weapons. Most of your private citizenry carry ones that, you know, will just shoot a few feet from them. It's not really meant to be a ranged weapon. It's a mugging deterrent. But Mr. Daniel Bishop, you can tell just through looking over this dead man that if he came to an untimely end, it wasn't through strangulation, knifing, or being shot. He could possibly have been shocked to death. That's more hard to tell.
And just make sure they know, like, they broke in over here.
I'm gonna look through his coat and things to see if there's, like, do they have things like wallets here?
Sure, they have basically identification numbers.
Yeah. I'm gonna look
through a card that's got a barcode. Sure, that I'm gonna consider that on the same roll since you were giving me just kind of a broad investigation over the character. He has no ID on him. Actually, he has no real personal effects at all, except for a rather nice pocket watch.
Hey, what was supposed to be in that vault? Do you know?
Huh? Oh, Miss Blair looks through her clipboard again. Parcels waiting to be delivered. They were going out by Zeppelin next week sometime.
I look in the vault. Are the parcels still there?
Well, I don't have a manifest. The guilds haven't had a chance yet to come down and inventory everything, so we don't know what or if anything is missing.
I just look in the vault to see if it's been ransacked.
It doesn't really look like it. There's more steel shelving inside, a couple of feet worth, deep, and there may be 3-4 shelves tall. Each shelf does hold a brown wrap package. Doesn't look to be any conspicuous bare spots, although not all the shelves are full.
I want to look at this engine thing on Sky's back.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'm trying to tell, like, does it look like it was expertly made or not? Is there some piece that has, like, a maker's mark on it or something that might identify who made some of it?
Sure.
So, what would that be, crafting?
Yes, since you're looking particularly at its workmanship, this would be a crafting roll.
Okay.
And you can add alchemy to that, so you can get your +2 free. No chip required.
Gotcha. I do have crafting at great.
Mm-hmm.
Specialty as engines.
Okay. You will gain an additional bonus for the specialty.
Okay. Then I'm looking at that's 0, +2, +1, is it?
I'm sorry, let me look at the screen here for you. You've got 2 pluses and 2 negs, so you've got a +2 to the roll. Mm-hmm. And you're at great, you say?
Right.
Which is a 3, so you've got a 5, your specialty. So you're topping out over fantastic. Great. Well, one of the things you notice right away is that it's not stamped by any of the guilds, which is a little odd. The guilds don't – there is no law against competing against the guilds. Like if a crafter wants to make something and he's not a guild member, there's nothing illegal about that. But it is uncommon. And everything that's made by the guilds has the guild stamp or guild stamps if there's more than one guild involved. This does not. It does have a maker's mark, however. You're not familiar with it. It is a triangle with the bottom kind of notched in the middle and a 2-tined lightning bolt through the middle. As far as the workmanship, the craftsmanship is excellent. The steam boiler is very compact, looks to be very efficient. and it does indeed look to be some sort of strength-boosting mechanism. With that roll, you do see the critical flaw and potentially why the man died.
Really, did anything in particular?
Yes. You're figuring the output was just a little too much. The guy strained a little bit more than he should, and while the machine was perfectly capable of ripping that cap off the door, his skeletal system was not. Probably caused massive hemorrhages, probably broke several bones, and he probably died of internal bleeding, you're figuring.
So he actually killed himself, apparently. Mm-hmm. Misusing the things, his operator there.
Mm-hmm. And you're thinking that's why he's got the wet greatcoat in the back, is the boiler ruptured with him trying to exert too much power out of the device.
I don't recognize the mark at all.
No. It is unique.
So what was stored in this vault?
Miss Blair tells you that, the guild say that it's just various parcels. This is, think of it as a mail service. They send out these parcels from by Zeppelin every other week.
So these parcels, these were outgoing mail. Is there any kind of labeling system so we can tell, like, oh, okay, all the stuff that was going to Chicago got stolen, or all the stuff going to Timbuktu or wherever. There's got to be some kind of organization.
It's all labeled and numbered, but since we don't have a guildie out here to actually run through his manifest, we have no idea where any of this is going or what's missing yet. And they're apparently too busy right now to send the guy out.
Really? Well, I have contacts. I might have a friend of a friend.
Sure, give me a roll. Let's see if you know a friend of a friend who maybe works in these warehouses.
Okay.
Sure, I may know an even better friend of a friend.
All right, well, I have it.
I may know someone who can get the manifest.
So I guess I'm...
Well, since Abel initiated this, we'll start with Abel. Abel, how'd you do?
I got a plus and a minus, so zero.
You got a net zero.
Net zero, but I have a good, so it's three, my contacts.
Okay. This is the low rent district. This is not a very secure warehouse. You probably know a guy that actually put in the vault doors. You haven't contacted him in a while, but you think Sparky might have done this work, after looking at the lids to the vaults. This might be Sparky's work. He might know something. And Wallace, how did you do?
Oh, I didn't know you wanted me to roll.
Well, you were saying that you might know somebody. If you want to see if you know someone, go ahead.
All right. My roll is a plain old three.
Seven.
Straight up three? No, unfortunately, Wallace isn't quite the social networker that he would like to be.
Social networker.
How did Daniel do?
Seven.
Seven. Herb.
Context. All
right. Daniel, you seem to remember this lady you went out to dinner with a couple of weeks ago that you met in passing, and you vaguely remember when she was yammering at you over dinner that she worked in some warehouse down in District 8. She might know something about this one. Hmm. Now, if you could just remember her phone number, maybe you got it written down somewhere.
Where is that number? Where do I keep my numbers? Damn it. I didn't bring my book, did I?
Oh, no. You can know it if you want. That's not a...
No. I'm just like, I think I left my book. I think I may know someone who works around here, but I'd have to get my book from my house in this area.
Miss Blair stands up, seeing as you all seem to be chatting about contacting other people, and said, "So, are we done here?" Kind of looks down at her time device. She pulls out a watch fob as well and kind of looks at the time.
Yeah, I think we're done here until we get someone who can tell us what's in the manifest. And
is it early or late?
It's early evening. It's about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. The mist just around this time of the night, the mist start getting a little thicker. In a couple hours, it'd be very difficult to manage to find your way anywhere around outside.
It is getting a little late, I say, holding up someone else's watch.
You should. By the way, you should leave that watch on the body.
It's not from that. That's just joke and humor.
It actually says Bob's watch on the back.
I put it back in my pocket.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to go and find Sparky.
Okay. I'm going to go with this lady. Maybe set up the touch.
Miss Blair does say, well, before you go gallivanting around too late this evening, make sure you stop by the police office so that you can finish signing those contracts and get you guys paid properly.
I'll do that right away.
That's why. Money's always appreciated.
You better do that first. Got to make sure the contract's fully up. Don't want anyone reneging on either side.
She does not offer you a ride back to the police station, so you are taking the tunnels.
Damn.
most people ride around on the pneumatic subway system.
Is it cramped in the tunnels?
No, usually it's not. The cars are very roomy. It's actually a pretty decent ride. But, of course, in this district, the tunnels kind of have a bad name. There's occasionally muggings that happen on the cars. They're not upkept quite as well.
Can I just have a car of my own?
Do you have resources as a skill?
Yeah.
What level?
I have resources good.
Sure. You can have a small electric car that you could probably cram all three of you in.
No problem.
Nice.
Are you willing
ride.
To give us a ride?
I'm willing to give you a ride since you're both going to the same place, yeah. If you take anything out of my car, I will break your fingers with my wrench.
Of course, miss. I would not take advantage of your hospitality, I say, tipping my hat.
Right.
I shake.
Or as translates to Drenna, of course, miss, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Right. Tip hat. Go, then. I dropped him off at the police station, and then I'm headed to Sparky's.
Right. Then we go to the police station where they have the proper forms waiting for you and you are given your daily stipend. Money is still in the form of large paper notes. The government's, they call them engines, basically their computer systems. Each town may have one a citywide government engine that keeps track of all of the people that live there, all of their, you know, we'll call it social security numbers. I'll come up with a better name for that. But most of your common people don't have access to these. And so banking does not rely upon anything data storage wise as far as that goes. So your economy system is still based on paper money. And the paper money in this town is fairly – they're large pieces of paper. They are backed by the guilds, though. So what is written on it can be bartered with at face value or turned in for a like amount of gold or silver at any bank. And your usual contract for this sort of thing is for per day, you guys are going to get a 50 note. And on successful completion of this case, not to last more than 3 days, You will be given a bonus. After 3 days, they will decide whether or not they wish to continue to retain you or to try and retain someone more efficient.
I always wondered how they were going to prevent the people from just going on and on.
Yes. Well, if you keep getting paid for 3 days and never finishing cases, you're not generally invited back to do contract work.
No. And I wouldn't be happy with myself.
Oh, and just so we have this out there, the police in this world are not out there for the public good. The police are more of a buffer between the guilds so that there isn't outright aggression on the streets between the guilds. They do keep the populace under control, but they are not there for the populace's good. You do not call a policeman if you are having a dispute with your neighbor, for instance. They may very well just come in, shock you both, and take you both to a jail cell.
Much like the present day.
Yes. A lot of people will actually hire bodyguards or armed servants for their own personal protection, because the police do not do that for the most part unless it is a mass riot.
Wait, did anybody else just have their map go all funky?
No. Mine still seems to be all right, but I haven't moved anything in a while. I might not be synced with anybody.
I don't see you in the room, Bert.
Really?
You're not in the room, Bert.
Well, we're supposed to be syncing with you, damn it.
It's all right. I will sync with someone else. Yeah. So you find yourself at the police precinct for District 8. District 8 gets a lot of problems going through here. As once again, a lot of crime does happen in this area. And when we say crime in regards to these police, it means that people of power are having their things stolen and don't like it.
That's how it always works.
I tip my hat to one of the officers as I walk out of the police station. Good to see you again.
So he looks down at his blotter to make sure that you're not currently wanted for anything.
See, and as I'm walking out, see you, Bob. Hope you have another good game and keep your kids happy.
He tips his mug of coffee towards you and goes back to looking at his paperwork.
Now it's gone a little thinky.
You do arrive at the police station right before the fog gets too terribly bad. After a certain time of night, this is also why people prefer to use the pneumatic shuttle system, is because you really can't drive on the streets after a certain time of night.
Why not?
Good.
Thump thump.
I wonder what those thumps.
What was that? Just an orphan. Don't worry.
I missed that part. The what?
What's that?
No,
I was just explaining why most people don't drive around after dark. The fog produced from the electricity and the water in the air just becomes so thick that it's very difficult for people to drive on the street. So most people take the pneumatic subway after nightfall. And you guys manage to arrive at the police office before the fog starts getting too bad.
I make sure to go back home at the most crowded time for the pneumatic subway system after leaving the police office, and maybe make a little on the side.
I just get on the subway, get back to my house, find the number, and try to, and I think I'm gonna make some plans for tomorrow.
Sure.
I'm gonna try and find Sparky.
Go for it. You're actually okay. Sparks doesn't live very far from here. You could actually get there on foot if you want. You can try and drive.
Of course I'm going to drive.
And do you have a driving skill?
Yes, I do. It is good.
You don't have to roll then. Good is plenty fine. It's difficult. You're going a little slower than you like. Normally you have the thing going at its top speed, but soon enough you park in front of the pub that you know Sparks usually frequents this time of night. It's just below ground level. It's got a set of iron rod stairs that go down from the street corner. Little underground pub.
Fair enough. Let's see. Let's call it the Broken Gear Tavern.
The Broken Gear?
Broken Gear. They have like a little, you know, shingle out. It's got like a brass, painted brass gear. But mm-hmm. like, you know, it's got a big crack down the middle of it.
Perfect.
So I'm assuming this is like my people's, the Grease Monkey Bar.
Yes, yes.
Okay. They provide free grease for you to smear on your faces. It's wonderful.
Yeah, the sanitary conditions are low. The drinking mugs are made of dense wood and therefore harder to break. everything's very industrial looking. The tables are slabs of like industrial steel that are just bolted to the ground. The chairs are just stools. But it's got good food, good company, good atmosphere.
Okay, yeah, so I'm comfortable here. I find Sparky.
Say he's hello. Playing darts in the corner with some of the lads. Nods at you as you walk in. How are the kids doing? Yeah, throw some darts.
They are all 100% pains in the ass, and I'm sorry I ever brought them into the world. How's life?
But they'll eventually provide for your old age, now won't they? And he shakes his head even as he says it.
Yeah, you believe that. I'll tell you another. All right, I'm working my way into this dart game.
Sure. You kind of just butt somebody out and take over his darts before he really realizes it. So he consoles himself with a beer in the corner.
I don't have a darts skill.
That's fine.
I buy people, everyone around, and I'm asking Sparky, sort of relating to Sparky, the deal with the with the vault and the crime, and our guy who's trying to be Iron Man over there, tearing himself apart.
That's passably interesting as he throws his darts. Get a good look at that gear he had on.
Yes, I did. I got a great look at it. And I said quietly, there's this, main thing is that one of the plates had this, symbol there. It's, it had this, triangle with little divot in the bottom and two thunderbolts on top.
One of the, ways they cater to the clientele here is like near each dart lane, instead of a table, there's just like a one-ton keg, you know, the full-size keg. That's the tabletop. But on each tabletop, there's like a little like writable surface with like a grease pencil.
Right.
These people were always jotting down notes, and they got tired of people carving it into the top, so they just put down a laminate.
So
there's grease pencils there, and you're kind of doodling the design on the top as you're talking to them.
Yeah, I sweep off the layer of sawdust on top, and I do a little quick sketch of the thing.
Yeah, puts his hands up to his chin and kind of scruffs his 5 days worth of beard growth there, and chews on the end of his dart while he's doing so. Well, that symbol seems a little familiar. I haven't run across it in a while. Got to consult my library back home. I got a book that has all the secondary vendors and creators out there who don't go much for working under the guild, as most of the laddies in here do. And he picks up his beer as if to toast the road, toast the room. Am I right, laddies? And everybody hoists up their beers and say, ah!
Except that one guy in the corner feels left out.
No, the one guy in the corner is wearing a suit, and everyone knows that he's just a guild tool there to recruit. There's like a wide circle around him where just no one is getting near him. He looks very lonely. But well, I can loan you the book if you'd like to take a look at it. my mates in here, and I got a dart tournament tonight. I really can't leave, but I tell you what, he tosses you the key to his loft. You know where I stay. It's on the bookshelf in the living room, about three up from the left. I'm sure you can find it. I'd like to know how this one goes. He throws another dart and misses badly. Decides he's not drunk enough to throw yet, so drinks more.
Fair enough. Okay.
What else did you know about this? You know, I've been trying to get onto these paying gigs like you got here for quite a while now. I mean, what do you got to do to get the jobs? What, this is like your second, third job for them? I've had my resume in there for months now, and I haven't heard anything. He kind of looks at you pondering why you are getting jobs and he's not.
That's because I slept my way to the top.
Ah, he nods in understanding now. That would explain the eight kids. Yeah.
And I say, I give him a kiss on the cheek and grab the keys and head off to his loft.
He just lives just a little bit down the walkway, actually. He's got a loft about two buildings down from the pub, top floor. Meanwhile, on the pneumatic subway, let us cut to Daniel. Daniel, you didn't take any aspects that would make you have bad luck of any sort, do you?
depends what you mean by bad luck.
No, you reach what were you intending to do? What is it that Daniel's wanting to do for this scene?
Daniel's wanting to get home, find his number, because he obviously would leave his address book at home, not when he's on business.
Right. So he has bad luck and is on the subway, right?
No, I don't have bad luck.
Oh.
I'm not that type of person. No, bad luck actually would be an interesting aspect. Moving on. What I planned on doing was I was going to look at my address book, see if I could figure out what her name is, so I don't sound like a complete ass, like, hey, lady, and see if I could schedule a meeting with her and kind of give her a call and say, you know, tomorrow morning, if she could do me a favor, I'd owe her one on getting the manuscript to figure out, you know, kind of put it a little forward. Maybe we could meet a little bit later that night once I finish this deal. Set up another date. Hello?
Bert?
Can you guys not hear me?
I can hear you now.
No, I can hear you now. Hear anything okay. I said?
Yeah, I heard everything you said. So what kind of lifestyle does Daniel lead? Is he
a wage slave?
Does he have a high living standard?
No, he's just trying to get by, so to speak, with living.
Ah, so you live in District 8 as well then, no problem.
Yes, I do live in District 8. It's just helping all those people. It cuts into your funds.
Very good. So the people on the subway tonight then are used to seeing you around. No one really hassles you too much. You know who to not let bump into you, and everyone else leaves you alone. You make it home just fine. As you're routing around looking for your address book. Oh, look, there it is. The pocket watch that you took off the corpse in the warehouse kind of falls out of your pocket.
I pick it up and look at it closely, see if there's any marks.
It's a nice pocket watch. I'm kind of wondering why it fell out of your pocket, and you kind of look down, and there's a hole in your pocket. It wasn't there this morning. Give me an investigation roll.
Let's see. Investigation 1.
That's a minus 1 from the roll. And what is your skill?
Fair. So that's plus 2. So 1.
So a 1. Okay. The pocket watch itself, it's a nice pocket watch. The case is probably gold. May have a little alloy on it just to make it a little bit not as soft. nice glass crystal face on it. On the inside of the cover, it's got one of those, you push the stem down and, you know, the metal cover kind of pops open. On the inside of the cover, there's a couple of scratch marks there. Like it's been, someone's keeping tally on the inside, maybe? Just very fine mark. You do notice, with that roll and kind of poking your finger through the hole that's on your pocket there, the watch seems... cut.
I'll just cut my pocket and I'm trying to steal
stuff. Actually, no. What you're noticing is that the pocket watch seems to be heavier than you expect, and the lower that you're kind of just looking at it, but as your hand gets lower to the ground, the pocket watch seems to get heavier. And what you find out is that the watch has somehow become magnetized, and since most all these tenements are heavy steel flooring and grating, it's kind of trying to stick itself to the floor of your apartment.
You have a new wall clock. Congratulations.
Okay.
You figure it's been worrying at the bottom of your pocket all night trying to attach itself to a big hunk of metal.
Damn it. This is my work suit. I only got one other one of these. That's what I get for taking stuff. For giving me stuff. Yeah. Go put it on the wall.
You do find your address book, though?
Okay.
And yes, you were sober enough that night to write down the number.
And the name?
Ooh, you just kind of got a vague description. Don't know that you got her name.
Okay. This is going to be fun. I'm guessing, do they have phones or the equivalent?
They have the equivalent. They're wireless since, you know, it all uses broadcast power. But think about the old phones that have the two separate pieces, the one you hold up to your ear and it's got the cord, and then the big kind of gramophone end that you talk into. And it's going to connect you to a switchboard. It won't go directly to the person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you pick up your phone and District 8 routing. What number, please?
This number, and I give the number that I wrote down.
One moment, please. There's some scratching and ticking on the line, and then you hear a voice that you kind of remember. Hello?
Hello, this is Bishop. You remember me, right?
There's stony silence on the other end for a moment or two, and so, you do know how to use a phone. I was beginning to wonder.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I've been busy. You know, I'm having to work on a case for the police, you know, just to kind of get by. You know how it is.
Oh, and, the police. Wow.
Yeah. I just remember, you said you worked in District 8 at a warehouse, right?
Yeah. I keep track of the books for most of the warehouses in District 8.
Huh. Do you happen to keep the books for the warehouse where the guy died?
Well, it's been a few weeks, but, yeah. The contract for that warehouse, we only have an auditor go out once a month.
Do you also keep track of what packages go in and out?
Well, going in, yeah.
Maybe you could do me a favor and, you know, maybe we could catch dinner after I finish this case. I've got to get it done, you know, business first. But maybe if you can help me, I can take you out somewhere. Have fun.
Yeah, dinner where?
Name a nice place. Name a decent place that's not really expensive but is decently nice.
She counters with someplace much nicer. You figure that's about a month's salary that she's asking for.
You hear
for
a small whine coming from your wallet.
I look at the watch on the wall.
You figure that could probably earn you enough to go out once to eat a nice place like that.
Seems like a good idea to me. Yeah, we'll go there.
Okay. Sure. I'll meet you down at Chansey's in half an hour. That's going to be a little kind of deli gathering spot. They're not heavy on the alcohol. They're more on the, like, coffee, fruit juice crowd. But it's kind of like it's a pub for those that don't like alcohol. And it's about halfway between apparently her and you, as you're not exactly sure where she lives or or know her name yet, for that matter.
Details.
Bruce was flowing heavily that night, and
so she agrees to meet you at Chansey's in about half an hour, and she'll dig up what she has on that warehouse.
I'll dig up what money I have.
All right, and we cut to Wallace, who is on the pneumatic tunnels, and he's trying to ply his trade. What is your burglary at there, Wallace?
Four.
Okay. Well, go ahead and just give me a roll.
I make a total of 5.
Not a problem. You get away with a few purses with no one the wiser, and seems to be that you are in luck, as there are no officers on the tram tonight. At least none that you see. But you do make it back to your house, which is... Describe the place that Wallace likes to hole up.
Some low-budget rent place, maybe anonymous, if that can be done. Somewhere where someone like Wallace would like to hole up.
Right.
A place where you pay cash.
Yeah.
Yes, you live where the dock workers live. No problem. What is Wallace wanting to do with the rest of his evening?
Ooh, new watch. Doesn't even have a name on it.
Yes. Hey, you got some miscellaneous, you got a few watches, a few trinkets. You even managed to wriggle somebody's wedding band off before they even noticed. Of course, it was off the loose. You're figuring the guy probably takes it off more often than wears it. So you make a little bit of scratch on your expedition. You've got this little collecting bin, like, right inside your front door. You just throw it all in, and you grab it out whenever you want to go to a pawn shop or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did you want to do with your evening?
Just generally spend it however Wallace would. It's just
right. Wallace goes out drinking.
Yep. Easy come, easy go. Drinking and hookers.
Mm-hmm. And we cut back to Abel. Abel, have entered his flat. As most of your grease monkey friends, there is no semblance of cleanliness nor order to this apartment. But the case has a path cleared right to it, and it's easy enough to locate the book that he was talking about.
Fair enough. So I am leafing through the book looking for... the right symbol.
Sure. You don't find the exact symbol, but you find a couple of symbols that are very close. There have been a few patents filed under the same person's name for all three of these symbols that are very close to the one that you have. It looks like the three symbols may have been like maybe earlier attempts. Like one is a triangle with a single lightning bolt through the middle. One is a lightning bolt that's kind of got like a square thing around it. They're all similar. And going through your book, you do find they're all registered to the same man. At least the same man has put patents forward for each of those signatures.
Okay, who is this guy?
Well, he goes by E. Morris. And there's a couple patent numbers that are in the book that you'll jot down. There's not a great deal of anything else in there. You do have a vague description of what each of the patents are for. They are for various pneumatic devices, One is for like a lift to help mechanics work on vehicles. One is for a different type of boiler that doesn't take up quite as much room. It's it is more compact, requires less water, and produces more pressure. And the third one is more of a, it's a concept. There's not anything put down as far as actual mechanics. He's trying to produce some kind of, factory, mobility system that will help people, pack and unload crates easier.
Have any kind of information about, like, where he lived or number to reach him at, anything like that?
Not in the book, no. And patents, by the way, are what the patents do is it makes sure that the guilds are not already holding any similar device or they are not already working on it. It's basically saying, I'd like to market this. Is it okay?
Right.
Versus giving the person the actual rights to the device.
Okay, fair enough. All right, I guess next, I guess we gotta have. What time is it now?
Oh, it's probably going on 9 p.m.
Yeah. All right, I lock up and I'm headed back to the broken gear. I leave the book there. I don't take it with me. It's not mine.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Get back there. Sparks is well into his cups. He has to have one of his friends to kind of support him to the dart line, but he's throwing much better now.
At least he thinks he is.
Oh, no, he really is.
I say, do you know this kid, E. Morris? Kind of clever guy.
Yahuda. The symbol belongs to?
Yeah.
He's kind of wobbly on his feet. His friends are kind of supporting him there.
Yeah, that's who the symbol belongs to.
I've heard of him. Some kind of hotshot inventor who really has it out for the guilds. Everybody raises their cups in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear that.
It's got kind of a name in the underground. Don't know much more than that. Have we won yet?
No. So, do you know where the guy Morris, where he lives, who he hangs out with?
No. Never met the guy myself. Just read about him in the underground papers. You know how it is.
Yeah, I know. All right.
He looks at you, soul-searchingly drunk, as if to say, you know how it is.
I do. I do know how it is. Fucking guilds. Okay. I'm going to try and ask her, since I seem to be doing all right here, I'm going to try to ask around. I'm going to try to, I'd like to try a rapport.
Sure.
Get to... know the folks at the bar. Okay. Here we go. All right, so I got a net 2, and I have it at good, so that's 3.
Yeah, you're actually pretty well known around this bar, so, you know, no worries. Striking up conversation is easy. People invite you to sit down and have drinks. You get a few invitations to make number 9. this happens a lot to you, though. You usually beat them off with your wrench.
Gotcha. But nobody knows who Morris is.
Wrong choice of words, Bert.
Yes. no one, they know of him. He's kind of like an underground legend because he's one of the few inventors who have actually managed to sell some of their devices for quite a bit of money, although not here in Metapol. There's a large enough guild presence in Metapol that a lot of that gets either the inventor gets bought out real quick or gets muscled out. So he's kind of a legend because he's kind of beat the system as far as a lot of people are concerned. Because of this, though, he's also – he doesn't live in any one place. His labs tend to travel around because he doesn't want to give anyone the chance to break into his facility, steal his stuff, destroy his stuff, etc. He's apparently quite paranoid.
Gotcha. But I guess he must have stopped here at some point to patent the stuff that he did. Otherwise, the records wouldn't be here. All right. I sense that's all I'm going to get about this guy from these guys right now. So I'm going to head home for the night.
All right. And no problem. You get home without... you were driving, so give me another drive roll. It is much worse out there now. Well, you apparently do this often.
So that would be a neg one after flying's roll. Let's see.
So what's your total?
Well, with the skill minus die, it's negative. I'm at negative one.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you run your vehicle off the road a few times, and, you figure sometime in the morning you're going to have to beat out some dents, but you managed to not run over anyone or cause too much property damage.
Right. It was just an orphan. No one will miss him.
You probably rubbed some paint off the side, and you got a few dents you got to beat out. That's the usual thing. You do this often enough.
I need to add more headlights to these things.
It doesn't really help because it just doesn't cut the fog.
It'll help. Why? It'll help because they'll see it coming fast, you know?
If he adds more headlights, he'll blind himself.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It's like the oncoming train.
Mm-hmm. So, Daniel makes it over to Chansey's, and there is a leggy blonde in the corner. Apparently, she spent their half hour to dress quite nicely. she's wearing a tight outfit, very brightly colored squares of color woven into it. This is the fashion that the young ladies are wearing these days.
By the way, I did dress in my nicer suit.
Okay. you think maybe this is the lady from a couple of weeks ago, but you're...
I'm guessing, does she have any books in front of her?
Oh, well, there's a couple of people sitting at our table, some other young ladies as well, and they've all got large purses sitting on the table. But she does notice you walk in, and then she waves you over.
I come over.
She introduces you to her friends. This is Pamela and Amy. They giggle and shake your hand, and they grab their purses and head on off, leaving you to sit down on.
Thank you, ladies. And I tip my hat to them as they leave, in a nice gentlemanly manner.
Now, she holds the purse protectively in front of her and says, "So we're going to Alejandro's on Wednesday, and I can order anything I want on the menu."
Yes.
As a tear rolls down one cheek.
Actually, no, it's as I realize I'm going to be ordering the water.
Very good. She pulls out a binder from her purse and hands it in front of you and says, "Okay, I got to thinking about what you asked, and to be honest, this was something I've been working on for the last couple of months. There's been a few break-ins at different warehouses all through District 8, and for each one of them, nothing has apparently been taken, at least nothing that is on the manifest that was supposed to be in those warehouses was taken." She lays down the binder in front of you and says, "These are the manifests for each of these six warehouses that have been reported broken into over the last month. And the guilds claim that there's nothing missing."
Do you think there might be more in there than they're saying?
Well, of course.
Of course. It's always the way with the guilds.
But I was wondering, though, I mean, if it's something that the guilds are trying to hide, why would they even report it?
That is a good question. Maybe they're trying to stop the person who's doing it. That could be a possibility. Maybe they're worried that they're going to hit in a more important, and these are all just practices. Thanks for the information.
Yes.
I smile. I give her a nice good spine.
She looks over your evening best, wrinkles her nose, and says, wear something nicer to Alejandro's. They may not let you in wearing that.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You don't recall the last evening you had with her might have been fun enough to put up with this, but your memory is spotty.
I think I'll just, since I don't want to be rude, I think I'll just kind of, yeah, just flirt with her, you know, just kind of make a good impression. And then as time goes down, go, when it gets to an appropriate time, just, you know, say my goodbyes.
Mm-hmm. She actually doesn't stay out long. Her job requires her to be up fairly early in the mornings. You're now kind of remembering this because you do believe she left before you woke up. So you're not there for much longer talking to her.
Oh, I can't build rapport with her.
She does leave the bill for the few drinks you have with you, of course, before she leaves.
Damn this woman.
So the rest of the night, I guess everyone just heads back home, mm-hmm. Or is at home. So the next morning, you're all called by Miss Elizabeth at the police station, and she informs you that the Transportation or Transporters Guild have left a manifest with the office if you want to come down and look at it. They're claiming that nothing is missing from the warehouse. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
Is everyone else?
I think Abel went on a bio break.
I'm here. Yeah.
Might want to take a break while we can.
Sure. Yeah. We'll take a bio.
All right.
Anyone back yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
I think I know what I'm going to have to do.
I'm back.
Sell a kidney?
No, sell the watch and also hope that I have maybe I have a favor with a tailor.
One of the things you can do with a fate chip is make a declaration. Like you can spend one and say, I have a tailor that owes me a favor, or
I plan on doing because I may be struggling, but I'm well connected.
There you go.
Is he telling this to anyone else or just keeping it to himself?
That's up to him. You guys haven't gotten back together yet.
Yeah. I'm figuring we get the call and decide, oh, let's all meet somewhere.
You're looking a little worried. What troubles you, my friend?
I'm waiting for Abel to get back first.
Now, this is just between you and me.
Nah. Nothing. I've just, I've got a date with a woman that I've got to take care of. She's
fancy place?
Fancy place, overpriced. I'm probably having the water.
How are you going to pay for it?
Sell something. Sell a nice watch I own.
I know a great pawnbroker you could use.
No. I have my own connections.
Very well. Just thought I'd offer for a friend.
Right. I check, as I take a step back, since he's probably gotten closer, I check my pockets.
Your pockets seem to still have holes in them.
All my pockets are just one of them.
As he takes a step back,
the same hole. You're wearing the same set of clothing.
Look at my pockets and whisper to him, I don't even need to pick your pockets to get your stuff. I just have to follow 15 feet behind and pick up whatever you drop on the ground.
Every wallet
has Bishop to drop this wallet, by the way. It fell out of the pocket. I hand him back his wallet.
Bishop apparently has two suits, his good suit and the one he's wearing now. That's it.
Yes. I need to get a better suit.
I would recommend placing it in the pocket without the hole next time, maybe.
That's what I'm going to do. I put it in the pocket that doesn't have a hole in it. Well, I'm at the tailor. I'll have him see if he can patch this up. It's a quick job.
We'll give Abel another couple minutes.
So did you find out anything last night, Wallace?
Not much. Nothing of relevance. Scenes of Wallace drinking at a fancy place, blowing all the money he got.
Help any good people? Or did you hurt people?
Why would I hurt anyone?
I remember our first meeting. I remember when I lost my family heirloom watch to you.
You are a very observant man.
Yes, still haven't found that damn thing. I think it's not even in the city anymore. It's one of a kind.
What's going on?
You have been summoned back to the police headquarters in the morning. The Transportation Guild has sent in a manifest to the office, and has stated that as far as they can tell, nothing is missing.
As you roll up to the, police thing, you see, Wallace handing, Bishop a wallet.
They made it there before you and have been talking for a bit, apparently.
So they're saying nothing was stolen.
Yes. I learned last night, thanks to a friend of mine, that there's also been other break-ins where, according to the manifests, nothing has been stolen. It's obvious that it's stuff that's not reported in the manifest.
Right. No. We're dealing with a new breed of criminal, someone diabolical that, in fact, simply breaks into places and takes nothing.
No. It's someone
who's... I raise one of my eyebrows when she says the takes nothing part.
No. It obviously the criminal is taking things that aren't listed on the manifest. It makes more sense. Because the guilds always hide stuff that aren't on the manifests.
I understand, people. There are things that fall off the back of the truck, as it were. Favors that are done for people. Things that are moved without any official records being kept.
So, you learn anything last night, Drina?
I'll tell him this whole bit about Morris.
Morris.
I don't know. This is odd. I mean, well, you have this guy Morris. He's very smart. He's rich. He has a problem with the guilds. Paranoid. Maybe he felt somebody stole something from him that he's trying to get back. I think if we can figure out how, like, this rare device ended up on the body of our would-be thief. I think we could. I don't know. I think we'd be close to the answer here.
Well, I might also want to ask about the other break-ins to see if they were pretty much the same, even though they weren't reported. Because if they were the same, it may be that this Morris fellow is actually in town, and he's. Since you said he was underground, he may be trying to get back at the guilds in his own way, fighting the power, so to speak.
Right. But obviously, I mean, he's targeting something. There's something in particular that he's trying to get at.
Yeah, since it's in the same area, it must be in one of them.
Well, what's the commonality between the various vaults? Are they all owned by the same person? Are they all used by the same service?
The vaults are all jointly owned by both the Transportation Guild and the Labor Guild. But mostly, the big thing is all of these are storage facilities for packages that are being transported out.
I'm asking who uses all of the storage facilities that's been hit. Has the Machinist Guild used all five or that kind of thing?
Any number of people. I mean, it's a package. Think of it as a post office that it's waiting for the mail to be taken away.
Ah.
And you have lots and lots of mail.
Yes.
Well, man, look at the manifest. Like, where was most of this stuff supposed to go?
All over, but the big thing is it's all out of Metapol.
Right.
None of it's being rerouted back into Metapol. It's all scheduled to be taken by Zeppelins out to different and varying places.
He's obviously either A, looking for stealing from the stuff that's not listed, or he's looking for a specific package and he hasn't found out which one going out going. That's what I'm thinking along those lines.
And if one person has used all the vaults, then
he or someone he's connected to or someone who has connections to him is looking for something that he doesn't want to get access to, or maybe, who knows. Do you know of any way we could track down Morris himself?
I have some ideas.
If I got any contacts in the underground.
I think we
can. As he mumbles that, I shake my head up and down.
Okay. I wonder, shall I roll to see if I have any, if I happen to know someone in the underground?
That's actually one thing that players can't start with, because the underground is actually, it's a myth to most people. Yeah.
What is the underground exactly?
Well, that's just it. I mean, it's barely got any press at all. I mean, people know that there are people that are unhappy with the guilds, but it's not like common knowledge that there's any kind of resistance to it organized. So it's just kind of a rumor. There's not been any proof of it existing. No one's been apprehended. No one's been charged with anything.
Okay, well, let's start with publicly available stuff. I want to go to the library and see if I can't find, like, news clippings about this guy, Morris.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some kind of trail.
Yeah.
Or maybe he announced something, something that'll give us a next place to look.
Mm-hmm. You can do this a couple of ways. There is a city library, and they've got reading devices there. It's kind of, let's call it microfiche. Just think bigger, bulkier, takes up more room. Also, you could try to book some time on the city's engine and do a computerized search as well.
I will try the second door just because it sounds more
interesting. Vacuum tubes wink joyfully at you.
While yes. You do that, I'll go check out the library. I'll do it the old manual.
I'm going to check out on this Morris fellow by talking to some of my more discreet contacts, because since he's paranoid, I'm betting if he is in the city or moves some stuff into the city, he'd use some of the more discreet and possibly slightly less asking services, and I'm going to just talk around, see what they know.
We'll split up and meet where and when. Bert?
I know.
Bert?
Can't hear you. All we hear is a little bit of static. Dun, dun, dun.
Right, Abel, your turn to GM.
You walk into a bar.
We'll just have to wait a minute, I guess.
Yeah. You probably can hear us. A little bit static, Bert.
Oh, yes. By the way, Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
Much later, when you open your wallet, something's nagging at you.
Oh, goddamn you.
It doesn't seem to be anything missing, but you could have sworn you had more money.
I will break your fucking fingers.
Hello? Hello?
But just a nagging feeling. I mean, you thought you had a 5, but there's a 1 in its place.
Nice.
You're probably just sleepy.
No, wait, I spent that 5 late earlier. Damn it! Spent it last night. I shouldn't have spent that day.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. You back? You hear what we were planning on doing? Bert?
Bert?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, apparently there is a short in my headphone microphone. Yeah. That's what you get for buying a $6 Walmart special. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, what I was saying, you may not have caught, we're just going to do the rolls, and then we're going to just pick back up when you all meet together and do the info dump, just so that we don't do too many cutscenes with individual people.
Okay. So
with Abel, you get Miss Elizabeth to set up computer time with you on the public engine.
Okay.
And what is it that you are researching or hoping to find?
So we have this guy, E. Morris. I want to see. I'm going to look at the address. Like, see if he did he make any announcements? Did he move to anywhere or from anywhere? Did he patent anything? You know.
Okay.
At least I'm looking at that kind of stuff.
Sounds good. For this, I'm going to have you give me an investigation roll.
Okay.
You can, however, use any kind of aspect that will help you with machinery to learn how to do a better search query.
Can I use scholarship?
Yes.
My scholarship is okay. Let's do it. So that's 1, 2. So that's a net of 1 success.
Okay. Due to how archaic these things work and how long they take to get information back, if you're going to stay with a 1 success, you will get some information, but it will take several hours. The more successes you get, the better the quality and the shorter time it takes.
Right. I'm going to go and I'll spend a fate point if you will.
Okay.
Or I guess I could just add 2.
You need to tap an aspect to do that, though. You don't just get to spend a chip, yeah.
No.
Didn't you take that aspect where you can just kick a piece of machinery to get it to work correctly? That would work. No.
I have Ms. Fix-It, but I did not take Dump of Restoration.
Okay.
Miss Fix-It, but not Dump of Restoration.
Well, 1 is a prerequisite. You have to get Miss Fix-It first. That is, character is talented at for getting things repaired under time-critical circumstances. So it basically decreases the time it takes me to fix something by 2 shifts.
Mm-hmm.
but that's not really.
Well, if you want to use that, you will get your, what answers you do get, you will get them faster, but you're still not going to get more answers from that.
Okay. Then, all right, then I'll just have to get whatever I get with the one.
Okay. With one, you find out that under this name, this man is not registered in the system. And you would have had the foresight to run through the patent numbers. The patent numbers do lead to someone with this name that apparently died at birth.
So he's not just a great inventor, he is also a ghost.
You figure he stole the identification to actually push his patents through, but they don't lead to a living person.
Okay. Great. Well, that's... Hey, would have any of the inventions in the patents actually been built or sold anywhere?
Nope, they're still pending.
Great. All right. I don't think there's anything else for me to get here.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will cut to Wallace. What was Wallace intending?
All right. Basically, I'm going to check my contacts in the more discreet, doesn't ask many questions, no records kind of people would say move equipment in and out of the city.
And what are you wanting to ask them about? This name?
Maybe the name, maybe has there been any big moves, anything with the Thunderbolt, you know.
Okay, and, give me a contacts roll.
And I'm going to also tap an aspect for a bonus. I get a +2 if I do that, right?
What is the aspect?
I've seen you before. Maybe I have a few favors with some of these people they owe me.
Okay, you don't have to declare tapping the aspect until after you roll. You decide if you like the roll first.
All right. Let's see what I roll. Yep, I'm tapping an aspect.
Okay, the aspect will allow you to either add a +2 or re-roll your dice.
I don't trust dice. I'm adding a +2.
Okay, which will bring your total to...
Let's see. My total is 4, I believe.
4. With a 4, no, the name is not familiar at all, but the symbol, some of your shadier contacts have taken gold and silver bullion with that symbol stamped on it in trade for goods.
Do they remember anything about this?
Your contact remembers that there's, he's pretty sure that one of the guys at the pawn shops was into it. He took it as a payment for something that someone had put out to be pawned but never picked up, and it was bought using like an ingot with a stamp on it, and it's been passed around since. But he's pretty sure he remembers hearing that it came from a pawn shop. He just doesn't know which one.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Since you have burglary skill, you don't have to roll this. You know that there are 3 pawn shops in Metapole. One of them is really upper end, and 2 of them are in District 8. The other one is in District 4.
If I still have time by the end of this, I'll check out the pawn shops. See you.
Let's gather everybody together before we go off on the side. So, Mr. Bishop, what were you doing?
I was actually going to go to the newspaper and look up Morris and to see if any, big inventors are in town that might be connected, that have new age inventions and are not connected with the guilds or something like along that.
Okay, give me a scholarship role. Abel had that one right. Scholarship has to do with anything that is research-oriented.
0 successes.
0?
Yeah.
Okay. Turns up nothing. You're not able to find anything recently in the papers at all.
Oh, well. Made up. I found nothing.
And so you all come back together and report this. Where would you all meet? What central place do you all go to?
I recommend either my lab or some diner somewhere.
I'd say the diner somewhere.
Oh, I know a great place.
No, we meet at a diner that me and Drena agree on.
You guys can all meet at the Broken Gear. I'm sure they sell food there as well. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll give it some limelight since Abel brought it into the timeline here, into the story. All right, so you meet back at the Broken Gear. It's just a little bit after noon when you do meet.
Right. I have law except for toning down the illegal bits.
I unfortunately found nothing in the newspapers. You, Drena?
Yeah, this guy knows how to cover his tracks very well. I mean, Ian Morris is obviously just a nom de plume, just a name that he uses to whenever he needs to do something legal, but who knows if it's his real name or not at all. Let's see, what did you find out about the symbol now?
Blah.
No, I missed it, I think, because I had a little coughing fit.
Basically, correct me if I'm wrong, Bert.
Mm-hmm.
But someone had given some of these ingots to one of the pawn shops. Then it started being passed around, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes, some ingots with his symbol had been given to one of the pawn shops and has since circulated in the less scrupulous areas of society.
All right. Do we want to try some of these pawn shops then?
I will do that. It sounds like an excellent idea.
While he's doing that, I need to take care of some personal business, if you don't mind, unless you have some other idea of what we could be doing, Drena.
Nah, I'm not right this second, beyond going to the pawn shops.
Mm-hmm. Meet back here in about an hour or two.
All right, question. So the party splits again. what is Daniel wanting to do on his own?
Daniel, I'm going to spend a fate chip, and there's a tailor who owes me a favor who can make me a really, really, really nice suit. Because I may be struggling, but I'm well connected.
Sure, it's a contact of yours who really needs a favor for someone else, and you kind of barter off favors there. So, in return for a good suit, you're giving him access to something he needs, and he's glad to do it. You go and arrange that. Wallace and Drena, are you guys going to the pawn shops together, or are you splitting up too?
I'm gonna go with Wallace.
All right,
I would prefer to go alone.
Why? I don't have to go in there with you. I could just be around in case things go wrong.
If you wish, I don't take her to the pawn shop I frequent.
Okay. So you go to, you know of three, two of them here in District 8. One of them is really high class. Which one are you hitting? The ones in District 8 first?
I don't know.
I'm assuming one of those is the one I always use.
Okay, and so you're going to the one you don't always use.
Yeah, and the right. Followed by the high class one.
Okay, well, you go to, hold on for just a second while I get this up here. The one that you normally frequent is called McMally's. He definitely deals in some shady stuff. The other one in District 8 is Phineas's Rarities, which is where you head towards now. It is in a not-so-nice area of town, in a town that, or in a not-so-nice district of town, in a district already not-so-nice. But the inside of the shop, though, is kept really clean, neat, and well-organized. And he does seem to have some very rare objects that catch your eye there, Drina.
Okay, like what?
Mostly mechanical, just bits and pieces of things that you're sure don't work, but they may have been failed attempts at building things. It just oddities. Think of it as a very polished junkyard of very interesting things. Lots of shiny brass and coils and glass. He also has many other things as well, clothing and books. The shop itself is large. It's very roomy, and the things are displayed well. They're all displayed to show their best light.
I want to find something that might either, like some sort of imaging system that allow me to see through the fog, or something that will, like, repel the fog somehow.
You can spend a fate point and find such a thing in a shop.
Oh, yes, sir. If I will, I'll spend a fate point and declare that there is a, that there is, in fact, like this sort of, some sort of imaging system that is designed, that's built into some goggles, like this alchemical device that allows you to see through the night fog.
All right, what you do find...
X-ray goggles, basically, is what we're talking about here.
Well, what you're able to find, and how's this for what you're looking for? You're able to find he has a bundle of schematics where someone was working on a type of light that apparently projects in a lower bandwidth of that radiation that apparently will cut right through fog. But you also need to wear a special kind of lens to be able to see it. So between this light and this lens, you can see clearly through fog, very cloudy days, etc.
All right. Done.
Okay. He'll sell it for you, you know, for a modest sum. We're not going to keep track of money. If you have resources, right, then you, you know, basically can buy normal things up to your resource level. So just ask if you can afford it, and I will tell you, yes, you can afford it, or no, you got to pawn a kidney, much like our Mr. Bishop has had to do.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm not pawning a kidney. I'm pawning a watch.
There you go.
That's actually what else I was going to do.
The watch is shaped strangely like a kidney, in fact.
And I'll actually hold the watch in my hand instead of in a pocket to rip another hole.
the higher up you hold it and the more away from metal, the lighter it seems to be.
Exactly. I'll just make sure to hold it. So I'll have my hands crossed, so my arm is crossed across my chest in kind of a defensive manner so that it's higher up than if it was just hanging by my side.
All right. So are you really going to try and pawn it?
Yeah, I'm going to really try and sell it.
I'm going to do a little GM caveat here, and I'm going to get you all back together, because here's what happens. You go to McMally's pawn shop. You often find secondhand clothing here, actually, unaware that your friend – actually, this might be how you know your friend. Maybe you met in the pawn shop. But McMally's is glad to pawn or offer you a remuneration for this watch, but he does tell you that the scratches on the inside of the lid are actually the marks of his competing pawn shop. Phineas's Rarities, actually. This is how he marks items that come through his shop.
I'll come back to sell this to you. I've got to ask him a few questions about it.
Are you sure? He doubles his initial offer.
I give him my word, since I'm a man of my word. I promise you, I will sell it to you.
Well, yeah, you're good for business. Sure, I expect you'll be back. And just as you finish making your purchase of the schematics, Drina, Daniel pushes his way into Phineas's rarities, holding a pocket watch high above his head for some reason.
I wanted to ask you a few questions about this watch, Phineas.
He puts his monocle on. Phineas is a very tall, very gangly man. Think Abe Lincoln without the beard. Puts a monocle on, takes a look at the watch, and as we hand it to him, it, of course, immediately gets ganked down to his metal display case. He finds that passingly odd. He pops the cash. Everybody who is observing this or would like to, I would like you to make a empathy roll.
Ooh, okay. Wow, that really sucked. Zero.
I drool with a vacant expression in my eyes.
Did anyone get better than a 3 total?
No.
No.
Okay.
The party has moments. The magnetism has deactivated the entire party's brains.
he makes he looks at it and looks it up and down. Says, "It's a watch. I'll give you a 50-pound note for it."
No. I know. I want to know about the previous owner.
Previous owner. He looks at it. Says, "Oh, there's no name stamped on it. Who's the previous owner?"
I point at the little mark. I know that's your mark.
He kind of looks at you, his eyes holding no real expression, says, "Oh, I don't recall you being a customer of my store before."
I point at Wallace. He recommended you.
"I don't recall this gentleman ever coming into my store before."
As he looks puzzled at him, I look puzzled at him as well.
"He told me you were a fine purveyor of goods."
"Well, I'm a fine purveyor of goods, but I don't know this man." And he hands you back the pocket watch. He kind of wrenches it up off the steel counter and hands it to you. "And I don't know anything about this watch, but my offer stands. I'll give you 50 pounds for it.
I look at Drena. I whisper to Drena, "Perhaps you could convince him to speak in a more monetary fashion. I notice you are quite well off." Thinking back to the very fancy pen that she caught me stealing from her in our first encounter.
I see. You want me to try to convince him to be a little bit more fair?
Mm-hmm. And perhaps give a little more information.
Oh, okay. No problem. So, I'm going to go ahead and grab Phineas by the collar.
I was about to ask, are you reaching for the wrench?
Yes, it's...
All right, well, grab Phineas by the collar.
I make sure to get my watch before she destroys it.
I'm going to speak softly and carry a big wrench. I lean in real close to Phineas. He's like, put my cheek right against his cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I don't think you're being fair with my friend. And I just like rub the wrench against his other cheek, just like very, very gently.
Without batting an eye, he says, "Okay, 60 pounds.
No. Come on now.
Okay, you're basically trying to get him to give up more information. We're going to go into a round of conflict here then. I assume what you're doing is intimidation.
Yes.
And he is going to try and resist. And he will resist with his presence. He's going to keep cool and controlled in this situation. So we both roll.
Okay.
He is going to have a net 4 successes. What is your total?
I have a net of 2.
Okay. Didn't you spend an aspect?
Yeah. You can always spend after your roll. You get to know what happens before. So at this point, he's kind of winning. What would happen is that he would cause – he would inflict 2 damage to your composure track, shaking you with his steel-eyed determination not to give you more and offering 60 pounds to your friend.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and tag – speak softly and carry a big wrench.
Okay, for the plus 2 or reroll?
I'm going to take it.
Can I support in any way?
Depends. This was her scene, so we're going to have her give... She kind of did this suddenly because you were all kind of taken unawares by what she was doing. So we'll let her play out her scene, and then depending on what happens next, you could.
Yeah, I'm going to take the... I'll do the reroll.
Okay.
Come on, good roll, good roll, good roll.
And don't forget to spend a paycheck, a fate chip to tap that aspect.
I did. I spent a fate chip.
Oh.
Nah.
Okay, you never can do worse. So you're still at 2, and he's at 4. So if you let this stand, if you don't come up with another aspect, you will take a check in your box 2 of your composure stress track.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to... Let's see.
Is it okay for another player to make a recommendation?
Yeah,
why not? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you've dealt with a lot of rowdy kids in your day, and you know how to give people the steel-eyed glare.
No, I'm going to tap another.
I may recommend making it the plus 2, because with these dice, it's really odds or even if you're going to get worse or better.
Yeah, I'm going to tag Femme de Fer, Iron Woman.
Okay.
And I switch him. I grab him by his tie, and I look. I give him like the 1,000-year stare, like right in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know this is business. And we all, want to get the best deal we can. I mean, we're not communists. But I think you know and I know that, well, there are things you're not telling us. Why don't you tell us what you know, Phineas?
Are you adding the plus 2 or rerolling?
So I'm going to add the plus 2.
Okay, that brings you to a 4 even as well. So I'm actually going to give you a bonus because Phineas talks the language of money, and you mentioned a possible remuneration for his information. So his eyes get a little less cool and say, well, for perhaps a 100-pound note, my memory may become less foggy.
Okay, done.
Okay. If that's well within your resources, you're fine. He takes your overly large bills and pockets them and says, well, that watch there, I don't rightly know the man's name, or I should say that I know the name he gave me, and I don't rightly believe it belongs to him. He's in here quite often when he's down on his luck. That watch that you're holding there seems to be his... item of principal value that he keeps, and it must mean something to him because he always comes back and reclaims it. A couple of weeks ago, he came back and reclaimed it with a bar or an ingot of silver. It had a particular symbol on it, I believe you were looking for. Now, I don't know anything about where that ingot came from or what it means or anything else, but I do have, and he pulls up like a little metal box and just rifles through it. It's a early version of a Rolodex, and he rips out a piece of paper that was in there. I do have the guy's address. The man who pawns the watch, that is. Mm-hmm. Is that a suitable trade for your 100 pounds?
I look at the other PCs.
It's equivalent to about 20 bucks.
Mm-hmm. Wait, 100 pounds is equivalent to 20 bucks?
About $20.
I thought it'd be equivalent to $1,000.
No, well, things are fairly cheap, and it's about $20.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, don't 1800s feel, not 1800s economy.
And why can't we have it a 1-to-1 just to be less
confused? All right. Let's make it. That's a fair trade. So there you go. 1-to-1 then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm satisfied with this.
I'm satisfied.
I'm
pretty sure he doesn't want anything else.
He hands over the paper. And apparently that's the way he ripped it out of his Rolodex there. That's probably his one and only copy of it. He seems to be washing his hands of the man.
Yeah, because he probably knows if someone has the watch, he's not going to be reclaiming it.
All right, so what do we do next here? I guess we should leave.
He does shuffle out 60 pounds at that 100 and say, I still wouldn't mind buying that watch for 60 pounds.
No. I just wanted information from you. I know how you feel.
Thank you. Come again.
I will.
And remember, Phineas is rarities for that uncommon gift.
I'm closing the door behind me.
Maybe we should also go by the other pawn shop to check out. I know he might not know anything about the watch, but...
You just want to sell it off, don't you?
Actually, I already told him that I would come back to sell it.
And I nod approvingly at, doing a nice work back there.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? I guess we seem to have reached a dead end. I think we may have reached the point in the investigation where it's time to get a little more hands-on.
I may recommend hot-wiring a stun gun to be slightly more painful. That's always great for intimidation.
I assume while you're talking, you're walking back to Mally's. Sure. He gives you 50 pounds for it.
Hopefully that'll cover dinner, or at least for
I'm curious, can I roll empathy on Mally? Is he ripping him off?
Oh, you know Mally. You don't have to. He's ripping him off a little, but it's still fair.
Mally, still come on. Yeah, you know Mally. You know.
I don't mention
a word. I point at Wallace and go, Mally, come on. I'm friends with Wallace here.
Oh, come on.
I give Mally, behind Bishop, I give Mally the nod, like, yep, rip him off.
Mally's like, you know my prices. I'm giving you the, it's probably hot prices. Come on, I gotta watch my own next year.
He'll be fair with you. Can I roll my deceit skill? Sure. It's always fair with his price.
What is deceit defeated by?
Empathy, I'm guessing.
Empathy, oh, okay, yeah. I'm good with that. 3.
Okay, he's like, fine, I'll pretend like it's not hot and give you 60.
Okay, thank you. You're a good man, sir. I always keep my word. I did come back.
He looks around like he's startled and said, who told you that? Who told you that?
Mally, you should be happy. Phineas offered me 80 for it.
Really?
After this, I'm probably not coming back here.
But he offers the fairest prices in town.
As you guys are leaving the establishment, you see him step out. He turns his shop sign over to close. You see he's got the watch in his hand, and he's walking over to Phineas's.
And as he walks out, we both exchange a wink.
All right.
It'll be fun when he realizes how much Phineas was offering.
The Flat 19, it's a rundown establishment near the docks. It's basically a 5-story tenement. It's really bad repair. It doesn't take too long to get there by the tram.
Or car?
Or with car. Yeah, everyone's cramming into Gina's car again. You do notice that she's got like paint ripped off one side of it, and her bumper is a little askew. The big vulcanized rubber tires have nicks and gouges in them.
You have to buy that as soon as I get a chance. Our bet is I have to fix that as soon as I get this thing back to my workshop. Anyway, I keep my.
You have a workshop?
Yeah. What do you think? I carry this wrench around for shits and giggles.
Some people do.
Right. We get there. I'm pulling the stun gun out of the trunk.
Mm-hmm. You have a gun, or do you have one of the stun staff baton things the police use?
Oh, I have a gun.
Okay. All right. Flat 19 is the address, so that would be the fourth floor.
I pull out a stun gun out of my greatcoat.
Mm-hmm.
I look at my hole in the pocket with the hole in it and go, "Oh yeah, I left that at my house."
Pawned that last week. Shoot.
No. All right. I try not to pawn.
The front entrance has got like a barred iron grill on it, and you see that there are there's four rows of five like pull chimes. They're like little pulleys attached to bells. Pretty easy to figure out that you want the last one from the left on the bottom. That would be 19 if you've got, you know, five a floor. That should be your man's address.
Okay.
So you pull it and ring it. You can feel that it is inside the building somewhere. It's pulling, there's a bell going off somewhere, you're sure. It's, You feel the tension of of a clapper going on the other end, but there is no answer. Hmm.
So that, right?
He's obviously not in.
Now what should we do? Should we break in and wait for him?
He's dead.
Then that's not really a... That's not really an option then. All right.
I look at Wallace. What would be the best way in there?
Wallace is already pulling out lockpicks. Look to his left, his right. In just a moment.
There's people walking around the side of the street looking directly at
you. It's not clear.
They seem to care.
Yeah.
We're working for the police.
Three doors down, there's like another guy picking the lock.
As Wallace starts picking them up, I go, "Wallace, why do you always leave your damn keys inside? Why do you keep locking yourself out?"
I just look at him like, seriously, anyone's going to believe that?
Yes.
As I keep picking while not looking, giving him
You don't need to roll. Your burglary is high enough. But just as you get the lock open, there's like a little five-year-old kid that comes by. And he kind of looks shifty-eyed to the left and the right. And he's wearing a coat, too. He opens up like the left side of his coat. And there's like keys. He's like, "I'll sell you one for a fiver, mister."
Hi, Billy. Is that you?
He looks up at you like, "Oh, it's that guy," and runs. Yeah. He's screaming something about being touched in uncomfortable places. Like, yeah, who knows?
You mess up one pickpocket just once. They never forget.
The door was a joke, and you've got the metal grill opened. The door behind that is unlocked, so you let yourself in.
It's open. I do the bow, sweeping off the hat.
Mm-hmm. I take off my hat and go, "Ladies first."
This at one time had white tile floors. They're now more like blue-green, grime-encrusted. Maybe they were tile floors. There's a badly worn carpet and kind of like an open area where people would do a meet and greet type thing. You can see a desk where it may be a super or some kind of check-in person would be, but there's no one there. And there's also a metal grate that goes over the top of it so that you couldn't reach the person inside either. There's a bank of stairs and a
like a freight elevator.
Shall we take the stairs?
All right, sure. Well, what floor is this thing on?
Fourth floor, top floor.
All right. Then we just head up there.
Okay. Flat 19 on the top floor. There are three other rooms up here.
Okay.
The door to flat 19 is opened. Just slightly ajar.
I stop and listen.
No sounds from inside. Other than like a banging pipe. The sound it makes when, you know, you're trying to steam heat the apartment and the pipes are really old. Just the pipes are banging around.
Sure. Well, I open the door with my foot and have my gun ready.
Okay. It is a one-room efficiency-like thing. You know, it's just one big room. There may be a toilet off to the back. Completely in disarray. There's, like, shredded clothing, shredded furniture on the floor. Books have been knocked over and rifled through. It looks like maybe even the commode in the bathroom is overflowing on the floor, but that might be its natural condition.
Great. So the place has been ransacked?
Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. Maybe you're just a really unkempt person.
I look around in the ransacked place for anything of value, like, because if it was ransacked by thieves, there wouldn't be things of value.
I mean, we may as well search this place. There's a chance they didn't find what they were looking for.
Yeah, check, you know.
Coincidentally, if I find anything of value, I only report half of what I find.
Okay. Go ahead and give me rolls, guys.
What is it?
This would be investigation.
Yeah, this is actual physically looking.
Yep.
Two.
So, one.
Even zero. Can I give burglary to just look for things of value in specific?
Yes. Yeah. Spend your chip and... Oh, you want to roll burglary instead. Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Keep the same roll, but get your addition for burglary.
Four, then.
Two for investigation. Kay.
Right. Well, for the burglary roll, the guy probably didn't own anything of real value. Even the furniture looks like stuff that was found on the side of the road. His clothes were all second or third hand at best. Nothing really of any kind of resale value. With the investigation roll, whoever turned the room upside down was really thorough to the point where they cut open his mattress. They cut open his pillows. They even like put some holes in the walls. To look in the walls for cavities.
So this guy, I mean, did he have, does he have any, like, guild paraphernalia? Does he have any tools or anything that indicates he's, like, mechanically minded?
It really doesn't, but some of the things that you know to look for, like, there's no grease on his clothing. There's right. none of that char smell you get working near the coal furnaces too long. None of the telltale signs that he's any kind of mechanic at all. And you doubt he's got any kind of guild affiliations. This is right at the poverty level. Even if he had a janitorial job in the guilds, he would be living better than this.
Right. So there's a guy, any family photos, anything that indicates, you know, that they had a girlfriend, maybe a kid, ex-wife,
picture.
Anybody?
Mm-hmm. There are some pictures that have been, like the frames that have been busted and the pictures ripped out to look behind them. And the pictures are like your black and white. Well, not black and white. What are they called? Your, that kind of brownish gray. What is that called?
Sepia?
Sepia tone.
Sepia tone. Yeah, sepia tone photos. There's a picture of him when he looked like a much younger man. He looked like he probably worked as a naval man. He's dressed up in a naval uniform, probably a good 20 years younger than the body that you found. And he's got his arms around a 2-year-old little girl. But that's really all you see.
Anything on the back, like, you know, Dad and Andrea or whatever?
No.
Well, I guess does he look significantly younger, like the photos before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he looks like at least 20 years younger than the body you found.
And it is the guy who we found?
Yeah, the facial features are very exact.
Oh, okay.
Deep lined face. Of course, not as careworn when he was younger, but very distinctive nose.
Gotcha. Well, I guess we'll take the photo. So what is this guy's name again?
We don't have a name.
There's nothing in here that has a name.
Mm-mm. All identification papers are missing on his body, and there's nothing in the in the room.
We could check the naval records.
Mm-hmm. Navy? Why? Was this guy in the Merchant Marine or something like that?
That's what the picture kind of looks like, that he was either a seaman or maybe a Merchant Marine, something like that.
Okay. Is there like a Longshoremen's Guild or?
Yeah, yeah. The traveling guild that you're working for right now, or that are having you investigate this right now, actually.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's. Sure. I mean, if he was ever a sailor, there's got to be a ship's list of crews, people who are rated, because to be a sailor, you have to have particular skills. So somewhere that's in the catalog.
And usually crews tend to stick together because they develop a bond, so we might want to check out his crewmates also and figure out the significance of his watch and where his daughter is.
All right. I think that's our next step. Mm-hmm.
All right. As you leave the room, everybody make me an alertness roll.
One.
Four.
Two.
All right, so what are the totals?
Four.
One.
Two.
Okay.
They're pretty alert. We're in an alert room.
Now we're going to show you how the conflict as far as physical combat goes here. on a zero, from the other three rooms, three very sturdy-looking men come out with clubs, with truncheons. One's holding a wrench, the other two are just holding these big pieces of lumber, and they look like they're attempting to do you physical harm.
Yeah.
Who had the one?
Me.
All right. What do you do? What is your reaction to this?
Go back into the room and let them two deal with it.
Okay, so you're going to throw yourself back into the room and probably slam the door?
No, not okay. Slam the door. I'm going to jump into the room.
who had the next lowest?
I had a two.
You had a two? Okay. What is your reaction to the situation?
Obviously, these guys are they're up to no good. I shoot the closest one.
Okay. And
I start screaming.
Okay.
I start screaming fire.
There you go. And Wallace, what is Wallace's reaction to all of this?
I pull out my gun and shoot the closest one. Now, Bert,
mm-hmm.
Can I play an aspect? Say,
No. I just want to know what your action is. We're not going to talk aspects yet. Yeah. So you're shooting the closest one. So we got two people shooting. We've got Marcus ducking in, and then they're all attempting to do you harm. Okay. Here's how this works. The action that you're attempting to do, Marcus, in your case, this is an athletics roll to try to jump through that door and close it.
Yay, this is going to suck.
Wallace and Trina.
I am never working with that cowardly piece of shit again.
Wallace and Trina, you're going to give me shooting rolls. Or gun rolls, sorry.
Two.
I got shooting.
And then just leave your dice on the board there, and I'll show you how this works. Oh, wow.
So, two is what I'm looking at for shooting.
Wow, everyone rolled out.
Let's start with Daniel. Okay, the way this – I'm trying to get this to work is this is all like real time. This all happens at once, okay?
Daniel, what is your total?
Zero.
Okay. Their total is one. So you are leaping through the door, even as one of them is able to just clip you as you manage to get through the door. You have a damage track for physical damage. Everyone has a base of two squares. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then for, do you have anything in? Okay, shoot. What is the additive for physical? Give me a second. Let me pop them to the webpage.
Endurance.
No, okay, what is your endurance?
Zero.
Okay. So on box one, you would put a slash through box one on your character, but you do get inside the door and you are able to close it.
Okay. I'm not closing it unless they try to get in. Unless the bad guys try to get in.
Okay. Kaitanos or Wallace and Drina are shooting at the same time. Your roll, Wallace, was a total of what?
Two.
Okay. And your total, Drina, was a total of what?
Two.
Okay. They come at you and they just the force of their presence is they're coming toward you with these big truncheons. They're intent on beating you over the head. Makes you misfire just a little bit, but you still get off shots. And Drina, you said you got two total. So they're going to take a box one from that since you beat their roll by one. And Wallace, you said you had a two from that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you beat Drina, you said you beat it by one. Is that correct?
Well, my net was two, so yeah.
Your net was two. Okay, yeah, so you both are able to basically just clip them, shake them a bit. How this works game point-wise is from Wallace's shot, they're going to take a check in box one for the physical. And from Drina's shot, they would take a check in box one. But since box one is already full, it goes to box two. Okay?
Right.
Now, don't think of the boxes as hit points. They're not. What they are is giving you an idea of how shaken your character is or how off your game, as it were. So far, just having your boxes filled up does not detract from your ability to act. So they are still up and about, and they are somewhat wounded. And we're going to start this next action round with Mr. Daniel laying on the floor of the bedroom he just came out of, but the door is still open. The two thugs are toe-to-toe with Wallace and Drina, who have just fired their guns at them and got off a clip shot. And we declare again. They're not changing their maneuver, so and they're the slowest, so they say that they're now going to focus their attention on both Wallace and Drina. Mr. Daniel, you are second slowest, so what were you going to do this round?
I'm going to watch the fight go on.
Okay. And then Wallace.
Fighter.
All right. Wallace, what are you doing?
Katanos?
Yep.
Ah, I'm going to shoot another one.
Okay. And Rina.
Same one, preferably.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
You're going to keep shooting as well?
Well, these guys are just like minions, so we're just shooting at them, not in anyone in particular, right?
Well, as soon as they've already taken both their boxes of damage, as soon as you hit them again, they've got no boxes for it to go, so they're taken out. So you basically just have to do 1 point, and they're taken out.
Gotcha. So I'm shooting again. And rolling.
Yep,
and
everybody still, roll their dice.
I'm still screaming fire.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Okay, they got a two. Kaitana or Wallace, what did Wallace end up with?
Two.
Okay, do either one of you want to spend aspects to make those rolls better? Because they also have a two. They got a one on the die, and they've got a one skill in beating you to a pulp.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to tag an aspect faster than you.
Okay.
So that
you are faster than the one swinging at you.
Right. As he swings at me, I whack him on the inside of the elbow with the gun, and he staggers back, clutching his sore little joint, and I shoot him in the face.
There you go. Is Wallace, are you going
to
spin an aspect?
This is what I was trying to ask you at the beginning of combat about tagging an aspect.
Okay.
Can I tag one to have a basically nastier, maybe slightly illegal version of the electric gun?
I mean, spend a fate point to have one, just as a I own this. This is right. True. You could do that.
You can just say that.
You can make a declare that way. There's not really an aspect that covers that unless you, for instance, built one yourself. But yeah, you can have one, but it would cost a fate point.
Why not? Think.
Yeah, and this is so it doesn't last just this game. You do, in fact, have this item on you. Okay.
Does that boost the roll any?
Yeah, it'll do an extra point of damage.
So my total is 3.
Yeah, that's enough to take them both out in a electrical heap. Since you are using the stun gun type of things, Drina's is just unconscious. Wallace's is slightly smoking. But they are both out. All right. So do you guys kind of get the idea of how this works? The slower you are, you have to tell everyone else what's going on first so they can better determine what their action is.
Yes.
And then it's basically just one roll, and then you kind of compare rolls to see who does better than who. And you can declare just about anything. Like if someone's shooting at you with a gun, you can shoot back, and your shots are making him shoot less well, for instance, if he rolls lower than you or you roll lower than him. So you can really pick any skills you want to oppose. You just have to make it make sense in the situation. One thing I forgot to do is that weapons do actually add extra damage. I did forget that. The stun guns have a base +1 to the damage, and the if you hit. And clubs have a base +1 as well. Your overclocked one, Wallace, would be a +2.
Oh, okay.
So then I've done an extra 2 boxes.
Yes. Yes, you have. But I forgot that. So, Daniel, you do not have to have both. Your box number 2 is not checked. It is just...
Duck back into the room. Hey, Bishop, you wouldn't have any chance happen to know anything about medicine.
No.
All right, he's going to die. Fine by me.
He looks very Sims. He will probably have third-degree burns. He may die. You're not a doctor. You're not.
He's third-degree burns. He's dead.
Well, we don't know how much of... I mean, these things are meant to not be lethal. But yes.
It just discharged more than I expected it to. It was quite odd.
Oh, yes, and your gun is now out of juice. It will take a few minutes for it to recharge.
Okay, so are they all down?
They're all down.
Pull out the wrench.
No, there were two that came... there were 3, I'm sorry. 2 of them came at you. One was just kind of hanging around. I completely forgot all about him. So we'll say he's sitting there, stunned that you took out his 2 companions so handily. So his action was to look dumbfounded, much like Daniel's action was to run.
and then watch dumbfounded.
Yes.
Right.
So he just kind of puts his hands in the air, looking at Wallace's smoking taser gun. Yeah, you want to point that in another direction there, buddy.
It depends if you want to talk or not.
I'm a-talking.
I put my gun away, and I pull out the wrench.
Away from Drina. Hey, call off your lady.
It's a good point. This thing might kill him. I put away the gun and pull out a knife.
I'm just a... tapping the head of the wrench in my leather.
And I come out behind him.
Oh no, you bitch, you stay in the park.
I'm doing a kind of slightly disturbing knife tricks with one of my hands, just looking at him.
Right, so you're all doing intimidation on him.
Yes, I was going to do intimidation also, just come out acting like nothing's happened. Like, yeah.
So, yeah, we're talking about who hired you. Did you talk to Morris?
To who?
Morris.
I don't know, Morris. Oh, look, what do you want to know, man? We didn't mean you any harm. You were over in Ryle's apartment there. You know who you were.
Ryle's?
Yeah. He's our mate. He's been 15 years in service with him.
So you guys, when was the last time you saw Ryle?
Well, a few days ago.
I see.
Do you know what I was doing?
Okay, everybody give me empathy rolls.
Come on, I have good empathy. You've got to be kidding me. This is the second time I've rolled three negatives, and I have it at good.
I think I know what to happen here.
Zero.
Nah, I'm at neck one.
All right. You're going to get a bonus from your intimidation, so... let me see how he does here real quick.
Is intimidation a skill?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Damn it.
I'm giving it to you just from situational, though. Don't worry about rolling it. Look, what do you want to know, all right? We get paid every once in a while to do a few things. I hadn't seen Ryle in a few days, you know, and we figured the cops would come looking for him, so we wanted to make sure there was nothing in his place. But we hadn't seen him.
Nothing in his place. He tore the place apart.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of thing I would do for a friend.
Well, if you didn't want your friend sent up the river, you might.
Did you find anything?
I didn't know who was going to come looking for him. Could have been the cops.
Did you find anything?
Are you guys cops?
Do we look like cops?
We're working the case. Now, you were saying, did Ryle say anything?
Yeah.
You last saw him?
He's looking at your wrench. His eyes dart back to the knife. He's completely, you know, disavowing Daniel. What's he going to do, slam a door on his fingers? No. Ryle said something about having another job. Sometimes we get brought in on him, sometimes we don't. He said he had it. Hey, he paid us our cut anyway, you know?
On the warehouse job?
Yeah.
So you were there with Ryle?
Well, a couple weeks ago. Like I said, Ryle was on his own this last couple of days.
Well, I don't mind telling you, since you were a friend of his and doesn't seem like he has any other family. Does he have any other family? Wife, brother, sister, anyone?
Nah, he's got that kid of his, but he hasn't talked to her in 10 years. We don't even know where she lives these days.
I hate to tell you, but Ryle died on a job in a warehouse a couple of days ago.
He looked at you kind of hard. You do it?
Nope. It was an accident. I tell him the truth. He had this alchemical device, something real advanced. It's supposed to make him stronger, but, well, you know, the human body is only supposed to be so strong. He used it too much and it tore him apart. It's just an accident. It's just an accident that he happened to be while he was in the middle of a job, but you know how it is. I mean, things are crazy. Sometimes you get out there and, things go wrong. And we lost Bert. Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you, but I don't hear Bert.
I'm gone again. Okay, hold on.
I can hear you.
Oh, you can? Okay.
And I can hear you again.
Okay. He puts his hands on his head and just kind of sits down and just starts mumbling to himself. And it's like, I told him he shouldn't be taking this money. We didn't know where it came from.
All right. Hey, look, we're really not interested in you and your buddies. With this technology, did you have it on the jobs you did with Ryle?
No, I mean, we're strictly just to break in and
you know, just put the packages in. That's what we're told to do. We're given a list. You know, it's got the address on it. We're given a package. We break in. We put the package in the warehouse and we leave. That's what we're paid to do.
Now, was the guy who the people hired you, was it a man or a woman? Did you meet him?
Raul dealt mostly with him, but saw him once in a while, kind of a thin guy. You know, I don't know. It might have been a woman. Had a funny voice, like she was, he or she was talking through some kind of, like one of them phone things, you know. I'm not able to afford one, but I've seen them.
Right, but it had kind of that mechanical edge to it, like,
yeah,
like on a PA system.
Whatever that is, yeah, but never said more than a word.
They must have loudspeakers, right? I mean, they have phones.
Yeah. It never said more than a word or two. She'd just hand over a piece of paper. It had an address on it, and she'd hand us a package. And we're supposed to break in and put the package in the warehouse.
You were supposed to put a package in the warehouse?
Yeah. See, we figured the cops can't do anything about that. We never stole anything, right? The worst they can get us for is a busted lock.
Did you ever think of what might be in the package that you're putting in there?
Hey, we were paid pretty good not to ask.
How big were these packages?
Yay big, but yay big. He's kind of hand gestures for, you know, it's the average size of the package you saw on those shelves.
Right. Did the packages mark anything, like, from an address to any particular place, like to a city or a country? Or
no, they just had these white tags on them with numbers. That's it.
Were they making, would the package make any noises?
Yeah, noises like what?
Picking?
No, they made no noises. They weren't out clockworks or anything. Smelled kind of funny.
So you guys never...
What do you mean by smelled funny?
It smelled funny. Have you ever been in one of them Chi-Town places? They got all them funny foods out in the market, and the smell kind of, I don't know. You boys ever smell what like a cannon smells like, or one of them handguns? Kind of it's a sharp kind of smell, and kind of
gunpowder, primer.
Sharp, yeah,
chemical smell.
Yeah, you had that smell. And something more on top of it, too. Something kind of, like I said, just smelled kind of like that Chi-Town stuff. It was just kind of sweet, you know, kind of spicy, too. Yeah, the packages all smelled like it, but we were paid, like I said, good money not to open those packages.
You mean like those food carts? Are they some kind of spice, like curry or ginger?
Yeah, something like that.
Something they use in their cooking a lot. Chilies?
Yeah, something like that. Just had this smell to it. It didn't last long, you know. When they dropped the package off, it smelled real strong for a few hours, and then not so much after.
So, are we done here?
I don't know. But it doesn't make sense. So, you guys never took anything from warehouses?
No, we never took a thing, man. You can't put that on us. We didn't steal a thing. If somebody came by after we broke down the door and took something after us, it's not my fault.
Fine. Yeah, what's your name, Ron?
He was asking.
Me.
You waving
with the wrench.
I start flipping the knife around my finger.
Johns.
Johns what?
James Johns.
Is he telling the truth?
What's your empathy?
Three.
Three?
Give me a roll.
3.
Considering he's got a -2, yeah. It's not a complete lie. You figure that's the name he goes by, but that's not his real name.
Real name 2, please.
Yeah, you ain't getting that. I got a record. Looks kind of hard about that.
I look at the unconscious guy, go through somebody's pocket. Anybody have a wallet?
You find some bills folded up. You find their identity tags. They're just barcodes, though. No names or anything.
That's fine. They can keep their cash. I take their ID tag, though. Mm-hmm. All right, I think we're done with Mr. Johns. We gotta head somewhere and talk.
As you're leaving, he said, he kind of calls out behind you. Were you just playing me? Is he dead? Is he really dead?
Yes, yeah, unfortunately.
He's really dead. I told you he died in an accident trying to use this equipment. Didn't know what he was doing.
Oh. As we're leaving, I give him a pat on the shoulder. You did the right thing. Didn't want to torture you. I leave with a little more money than I came here with.
I also yell at him, don't do any more jobs for that guy. You may end up like Raul.
Hey. Hey, guys. Wait a minute. He goes through his pocket and he's looking for something. He looks quizzical for a minute when he pulls out his money and seems to have a little bit less. But he pulls out some other papers. He's like, here, these are what you gave us, or he gave us. Maybe it'll help.
Thank you. By the way, you might want to get a little help for your friend over there. Find out the turd. Yeah.
He's actually bending down and picking up the guy that's still smoking a little bit. The other one's starting to come around.
Fine. Let's go back to my car.
Yeah, let's go.
Interesting. So, I drive him back to my workshop.
Okay. Along the way, what he handed you was a couple of sheets of paper that have been folded over a few times, and they're printed addresses of what you can only assume are warehouses.
So, someone's probably trying to... Maybe it's an enhanced explosive, and they're trying to blow up all these warehouses to drive the Transportation/Postal Guild out of business.
Yes. In the city. By the way...
which means we should get to these boxes now.
Do the locations correspond with the ones that the lady told me about?
Yeah, sure. You flip through the binder that she gave you as you're driving along, and they sure do. The ones that she had marked that were odd because the people had said that there was nothing missing do correspond.
Deidre? Odendra?
Dina.
Drina. I don't know quite how to pronounce it.
Drina?
Yeah. Can you please put the pedal to a metal before many warehouses blow up?
Okay. So, we want to pick an address where we haven't found...
Actually, I suggest that we go back to the one we were and look at the manifest. It may take a while, but maybe call in a couple of the police... say that there may be a bomb or something like that, and we can check out the packages, figure out which ones were not supposed to be there.
I think we should tell them that the warehouses might blow up. That seems important to me.
Fine. I pull up at like a police call box.
Mm-hmm. Easy enough. So you put out the word, and yeah, yeah, certainly they get people out to check it. They want to know what they're supposed to be looking for, though, if you have any idea.
Package, white tags with numbers, even though are they all pretty much white tags with numbers in there?
Yeah, they all have the same, tags with different numbers on them. They only really vary in size as they're all wrapped the same way.
Tell them it'll smell like gunpowder.
And curry.
Right. Do you take the time to tell them which warehouses?
Well, I would say, yeah, we have to give them the addresses.
Okay. Sure, hang on a moment. They get it all running. After about 2 minutes of hanging on the line, you get a voice back that sounds kind of panicked. Says, hey, three of those warehouses on your list, they've already made their deliveries. The packages are already on Zeppelins heading out of the city.
Well, you get on the wireless and you tell air traffic control that those Zeppelins are loaded with explosives. So unless we want some horrific, tragedy where you lose a Zeppelin and its entire crew in a fiery ball of death, the Zeppelins better either land or jettison they got on.
On it!
Now, the Hindenburg Company would never let one of their Zeppelins go down like that.
Yes, they probably actually put them with helium instead of hydrogen.
Well, that's up to the Zeppelin crews and their captains. Right now, are there any warehouses that haven't?
Yeah, the last one that you were just at last night hasn't been unloaded yet. The previous ones have.
And also tell them to cancel all deliveries from those warehouses until further notice, too.
Sure, they'll relay all those messages. Your warehouse is due to be loaded up actually this evening, this afternoon.
Let's go.
Of course, they're stopping that, but they do tell you that it was due to be loaded up this afternoon.
Sabrina, I'll pedal to the metal. Let's get there.
All right. We're driving there.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Screech! Okay.
That's a net one.
Drina, that's a light post. Drina.
Oh, no, God. You're fine. You're fine. It's the middle of the day. The fog isn't thick or anything.
Drina, that's an orphan. That's not open road.
We're fine. I'm a good, really good driver.
You all feel like you're going to die numerous times, but you don't actually die.
Yes, this reminds me. Bishop?
Yes?
Run out on us in a dangerous situation again and I'll fillet you like a fish. Okay?
Okay.
Glad we have an understanding.
Yes.
So we pull up, drive right up to the loading dock of the warehouse, stop the car, and jump out.
By the time you get there, there's already... Abel, what did you suggest they be called? There's the armored troops are there.
Oh, the Stahlmänner?
Okay, the steel men, the German for steel men. The heavy-duty guild police have basically powered armored troopers. They're big, lumbering, ungainly, steam-powered and electrical-powered behemoths with the drivers in the cockpits. And the warehouse is surrounded by a troop of them, five of them. And the guild police and their fancy body armor are out keeping everyone away from the warehouse. They were informed that you were on their way. They do clear you up to the warehouse doors.
Well, and good luck Miss Elizabeth finding and disarming that bomb. I pat her on the back.
I'm running.
I'm running. I'll run with her because they haven't gone off yet. So in the other ones, and they've been offloaded. So I think we're safe.
So I run to the package room.
I run to the package room with a manifest of this package room.
There you go.
So we're looking for, I don't know, I guess first thing is just look through the manifest. We're trying to find one of these things is not like the others. smell around and see if, I don't know, whatever the fuse is or whatever it is giving off an odor.
Okay, Drina is looking with her nose. Daniel is going through the manifest.
Yes.
What is Wallace doing?
Wallace thinks he can't help in this situation anyways. And why risk getting blown up?
So are you even going in the building?
I tell Drina, we'll need to have a strict conversation with Wallace about leaving us in highly dangerous situation.
Less talking, more reading.
Okay.
All right, Daniel, give me a scholarship roll to run through the directory. Yeah, the more successes you make, the faster you're able to find the inconsistency. And at the same time, Drina, give me a roll, and we'll do this as a investigation because you're looking for something specific.
Actually, I think I'll go in. Wallace just had an idea.
Okay.
I beat by three.
All right. What is Wallace thinking?
Wallace is going to search the boxes manually, opening up one up after another.
Don't do that. It may be triggered when opened.
Also, remember the scope and size of this warehouse. That would take Wallace the better part of an entire day to do.
I know there's an ulterior motive. I think you've guessed it.
Yes. Yeah. So Wallace starts cutting open packages, pretending like he's frantically looking for a bomb. All right.
Don't open the packages. Go. Someone hold him. Someone hold him back. He may set it off by opening it.
There's a couple of firm metallic hands grasping Wallace and lifting him up off the floor.
I'm just trying to help.
Well, how was the smell roll for Drina?
Yeah, I'm at -2 on my investigation roll.
All right. The place is so dusty. You tried to do that, and you just get your sinuses just completely full of dust, and you're spending a while there just hacking and coughing.
Fine, set
Daniel
me down.
Is I able to drop go through the list.
I'll help smell for it. Fine, just set me down.
Right. Daniel is able to go through the list quickly. He notices that the numbers are in numerical order, and he's looking for duplicates.
Yay. Find a duplicate quickly.
Yes.
We're one out of order.
With a little bit, there you go. With a little bit of help from the guild officers around, you are able to find the package. It was not in the vault. It was one of many on the racks out in the warehouse proper. It has a duplicate number on it.
So there are two. I guess we found the one we're looking for then.
Oh, you found the one that's out of sequence. Right. Like everything else is in sequential number. This one wasn't.
Okay. Does it smell like spices?
Faintly, yes.
Okay. All right. I take out my knife.
I back up a good distance.
I'm going to carefully cut the paper wrapping along one seam and see if I can look in.
Okay. You don't really see any. There's a box of some kind inside, but the smell is stronger once the paper is cut. You also noted that your knife comes back with kind of a syrupy, oily, amber fluid on it.
Then it smells like gunpowder, whatever.
It smells like sulfur, gunpowder, and something else sweet above that. It's some kind of chemical cocktail. You're sure that part of it though has got to be gunpowder.
Right.
I back off and away with the rest of the guild police, as I'm sure they're doing.
Gotcha. And there's got to be a mechanism in there somewhere, no?
I'm not sure. All you've done was open an end.
Okay, I'll open the opposite end.
Maybe if you shake it, something might fall out.
All right. There's a squarish brick of something inside, and it's oozing this kind of amber fluid. You notice the inside of the package, like I said, it's brown paper wrapping. The inside of the brown paper is really brittle, like it's been eaten through or it's been degraded.
I go up to the Stout Men. Look for packages that are duplicates on those Zeppelins and things. Make sure that gets passed to everyone.
They get on that.
All right. So there's some kind of, there's a brick of something, and then there's some kind of wires in there?
No wires. You haven't seen any kind of wires at all so far. You have noticed that the paper on the inside of the package is brittle, though.
like it's been aged very rapidly.
Interesting. All right, I guess I'll cut open the... I'm going to make another cut along. See, I'm going to try to sort of cut off the top.
Oh, sure. You work at it, and eventually what you unveil is that it's a rectangular brick about half an inch tall. It seems to be solid, but if you push on it, it's kind of rubbery, like it's solid, like a sheet of rubber or something. But you do know that it's kind of sweating around the edges, and that's what this amber fluid is.
Abel knows what this is, but it's just a brick. There's got to be something besides the just this chemical block. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This would be a good place to have an alchemy roll if you took it.
Yeah, I will go ahead and roll alchemy.
Come on, four negatives.
Four it's positives.
So, one net.
Net one. Okay. With that kind of roll, you think it is a chemical compound. There's no kind of fused detonator or any kind of electrical way to stimulate it. So it's probably a multi-fuse or a multi, it needs multiple substances to set it off, perhaps. In and of itself, you do not believe is an explosive.
Weird. So you would have to combine it with other things.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And maybe we should also. I look at the manifest for that number and see where it would be going.
Sure. It's going to take you some time to track it down because the manifest doesn't have all the destinations. But working with some of the guild officers there, you're able to figure out that. This particular one is going to a warehouse overseas. I'm going to call it Germany. Okay. It's going to Germany in a warehouse where it's supposed to sit for about 4 months before all the other parts come due with the order.
Check the rest of the numbers if they find them on the Zeppelins and see if they're going to places where they sit for a while.
It'll take time to get all the information compiled. What are you going to do until then?
Well, I ask for a bag.
Okay.
Somebody give me like, I don't know.
So you're given a linen bag.
Okay. Carefully wrap up the package.
Is that explosive or not?
It is not explosive yet. There's no fuse or anything. This is just.
I notice it's dripping. What if it explodes when it finishes dripping?
That would make no sense. Because I think this is something that you would require to hook it up to some kind of mechanism.
Are you sure it's not activated by air?
No, because then it would have blown up already.
Yes.
Also, it wasn't in an airtight package. It was just wrapped in, like...
But that may be what the fluid is.
To keep the air away?
Yes.
You best just be careful and keep it in a wide open area.
Yes.
I was thinking of taking this back to my lab.
Okay.
One block crater in the middle of the city.
And where exactly do you live? I need to know where I'm not going to be for a while. Just in case. No, I have full confidence in you, Drina, but I just don't know how... I have a question for you, Drina. You think it requires some type of ignition source. How big of an explosion would it make if it was collected and used as a bomb? Do you know?
don't know. Do I know?
Not with a one.
Yeah.
Although this
I'm not sure.
Although it may sound really stupid, you may want to break off a piece, a small piece, if you think you can do that without any danger. You should do that and see what it, well, it does.
Okay.
See the power of it.
I like that idea. I will, okay. The rubbery block, I'm going to, like, cut off a corner of it.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure to stand back as he touches the...
I'm imagining she's doing this back at the lab, though, where she has things to test it.
Yeah.
Sure. So you're all back at her lab while she's testing this?
I take special note. I surreptitiously take special note of the locks on her lab's door.
I look at my regular pocket watch that I made sure to make sure it was there every... I make sure my regular pocket watch is still there and check the time. And what day of the week is it?
We're going to call this a Monday. This is going to be a Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Today is a Wednesday.
Crap. I look at my time. What time is it? Please tell me I'm not late.
You're not late.
I tell Jaina, I think I have a date I need to get to. I know this is serious, but I made a promise and I will keep it.
Fine, go.
Okay. I'm going to go collect my nice suit and pray that this place doesn't hurt me.
So I'm going to look at this stuff. I want to know, there some way I can go ahead?
You have your lab, so you will get a +2 bonus that you do not have to tap a fate chip for, and give me another alchemy roll.
Thanks.
5 is in net.
Nice. You've pretty much isolated what this compound is. If it is combined with 3 other compounds, it would make a very large explosion. You also know that the chemical properties of this particular compound, it would have eaten through the paper and turned into a liquid, a freely flowing liquid, in about 2 to 3 months. If left on its own, as in on a shelf for 4 months.
All by itself, it doesn't have any other properties.
Nope. All by itself, it has no other properties. It has to be combined with 3 other substances to form an explosive.
So, yeah, whatever this is, if they were sending it somewhere, well, it would have reached well before it would completely disintegrate. It would have reached its destination. Then... obviously, somebody would send this thing to some compatriot, wherever it is they actually want this thing to explode, who would have the other ingredients to somehow create, and they would create some sort of device that would blow this up. All right, well, really what we need to find is, is there any pattern for these, for these packages, like, are they all going to the same place, or it seems like they're all going to different places?
Well, later that evening, you will get a call.
It's going to take a while, yeah.
Yeah. During this time, Drina is going to be spent mostly doing her research, finding out what this is. But later that evening, you get a call that tells you that they did isolate the packages on the other Zeppelins. One of them had already made its delivery. They were duplicate packages. By looking at the manifests, all 4 packages were due to be sent to the same place, another holding facility in Germany, where they were due to be basically just waiting there for about 4 months, for other parts to arrive. Given what, was figured out by, Mr. Daniel Bishop, it's all sequentially numbered. So all four of those packages would have been laying right next to each other on the same shelf.
And it needs to be combined with three other ingredients.
Well, there would be a total, if they all made it there, there would have been four packages sequentially numbered right next to each other.
All the ingredients. By the way, how was Drina's security system on a workshop?
I don't know. How is Drina's security system on a workshop? It's probably Drina with a big wrench that stays in her house most of the time. Or her eight kids.
With slightly smaller wrenches.
Only slightly.
It has several solid locks like any business would have, and eight children. So good luck, getting there at some point when there's nobody around.
No,
and all of them having.
If I see, can I use my burglary skill to see if there are any holes or weaknesses, like maybe a window or something left open?
Oh, sure, there's plenty of them, but there's probably always going to be someone home too, as Abel put out.
I'm not planning to do exactly that. So can I?
I mean, you don't really need to, is what I'm saying, because unless you also have burglary and actually tried to make your lab very difficult to get into, I'm assuming you've got standard precautions.
I've got standard precautions, and I've got a husband and eight kids. So.
Yeah, you don't really need to roll for a Kaitanos. He's got what you would expect for a business of this type. But on top of that, there's probably always going to be someone home. Would it be easy to get into for you? Probably. But yeah.
Here's what I do. I just make Drina to the side for a bit and say, "Right, I'm terrified you will rip my testicles off if I ever steal from you, so I'm never going to try that. But, as a favor to a friend, I will help you." And I basically tell her all the security vulnerabilities I saw in her shop, just in case you want to make it more secure. So can I make a roll to be more comprehensive on that?
Sure. That would be if Drina decides to take all of your opinions, that would be the next burglar's roll to roll against to try and get through.
Some burglars stupid enough to do it.
Yes.
Just to be nice, and the fact that Wallace wants favors later.
Yes.
I'm spending a fate chip with Master Thief. Add a +2.
Sure.
And I'm glad I did that. So my total is -1, +2, 5.
That's really good. Okay. If she takes your opinions, that's the role that will be used against future burglar attempts.
Yeah, I will. Sure. I mean, he seems like a total lowlife. I'm sure that he knows exactly what he's talking about. I'll do that. I will make the proper changes. I mean, I have kids, so I would prefer, if I was here alone, I would, of course, have all sorts of hideous, diabolical clockwork traps. But I can't do that because the 3-year-old will just set them off. So
yes, I was going to say 8 children, each one from youngest to oldest, with progressively more lethal stun guns. The 3-year-old might just hurt you a bit, but the older one. Okay. Well, very good. So what you find was there was a plot to have this warehouse just explode sometime in the future between 3 and 4 months from now.
Right. That's some location in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
This place in Germany, is there anything special about it that you know?
It's much like the warehouses here. It's a holding facility for things to accumulate before they're shipped out elsewhere. More than that, the guilds aren't telling you. Or don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, this guy Morris, obviously, and this seems like a revenge thing, you know? I mean, he has this really elaborate trap that he set up. It's going to explode in some random warehouse, probably that belongs to whoever it is he's trying to hurt or send a message to. but he designed it in a way that's to, it's very unlikely that anybody would be injured or killed because it's just going to blow up in some, like some large warehouse. Probably all it would do is destroy or set on fire a whole lot of other mail.
You estimate the explosion would be large enough to reduce a warehouse the size you were just in to rubble.
Right. But the thing is, the timing of this thing is not.
It's not precise. Yep.
So the target is the warehouse and the stuff in it, because you can't count on a particular person or vehicle or anything like that. All it'll do is it'll get there, and then at some point in some several week time window, right, it'll blow up.
Yep, that seems to be the gist of it.
Okay. So, yeah, again, we got to... This guy who hired these folks, there's... Well, I was saying this might be a good decision point to end this session.
Mm-hmm.
Because yep. I think we're gonna need a lot more, unless somebody has some really great idea.
Oh no, there's only a few things I wanted to do left. Was I was gonna spend a fate chip on me happening to know the owner who's like, hey, Bishop, good to see ya. Why don't you come back here to my personal table?
with your contacts and that chip, what happens is someone who owes you a favor knows the owner and is told to act like he knows you.
Yeah.
you don't travel on high enough society for the owner.
Oh, no. yeah, that always works for me. It's like, hey, yeah.
Right. Do you happen to have the, let's see.
Wealth skill? No.
No. Rapport.
Yes, I have it at 3.
Give me a roll.
Okay. Ooh. 2, that's 6.
Okay, so the next morning you once again awake, not remembering her name before she leaves for work in the morning.
But it was a good night.
yes, it was. And it was an expensive night.
Kind of takes the edge off a little.
Very good. And we will end today's session there. Everybody can take 2 building points.
How do those convert to skill points?
One for one, just like if you're going to buy a skill at level 1, it costs 1. But you have to keep in mind the structure where you can't have more at a higher skill than you have at a lower. So you've got to kind of build up your base. If you've bought your skills in a strict column, you'll have to build up your base.
The thing I didn't.
And a refresh costs
10. 10 building points for 1 refresh.
So 2 building points each, right?
Yep.
I might wait. Oh, yeah. Wait, what was that last part?
Okay. Oh, if you want to buy more refresh, it costs 10 building points. Refresh is how many fate points you start at with at the beginning of each mission or module.
Okay. Know that. Okay. I've always curious how much that. Okay.
Yep. Which also means that you've got to be able to build up your refresh to buy more stunts if you are wanting more stunts later. So
yeah, probably.
I do want more stunts.
Mm-hmm. That is unfortunate.
All right. So is it okay to end the? Are you guys good with ending the module there? Good introduction.
Yep.
Yep.
And okay. I'm happy. I never end a woman. I'll never know. Woo-hoo. I won't meet her again because she's too expensive.
She makes a good contact, though, and actually, I'll make her a a contact you don't have to pay a fate chip for in the future. You've developed her, so if you want to give her a name now yourself, she can be a recurring contact for you.
Well, let's go with the classic Elizabeth.
Kaitanos, you can also you can know the shopkeeper that you say that your character goes to all the time. He can be a close contact for you.
All right. What was his name again?
I believe it was Marty. Let me look it up real quick. McMally.
Mally, yeah.
McMally, excellent. Yep. I think I'm going to move a few points around just now I know some of what some of the skills do.
Yeah, I'm going to... Do you mind? Yep. Do you have the role where you can adjust stuff based off the first game?
Yeah, you can adjust anything you want to after this first game, but this is also the time if you are unsure or unsteady of any rules, you should ask now, because after the first time you've played, no more readjusting.
Yeah, I know. I'm just realizing that, I need certain things and don't need certain things, kind of.
Okay, I made some notes here about some things that I forgot. When you're doing conflict and it's a multi-person, everybody's trying to do something, there are some bonuses and some detriments. If you state, let's give for an example here in the conflict that we had, if Wallace and Drina stated that they were going to work together to shoot down one of the thugs, but they're doing it as a team, you would get a gang up bonus for doing it as a team. The two thugs that were attacking, yes, for each person involved. So you would both get a plus one to your rolls. If your companion there, if Daniel joined in, you would each get plus two to your roll. Mm-hmm. Now that's all if you have stated, you've stated this for the round statement that this is your intent, is you're working together as a unit to do this thing. You will get that bonus. The thugs did not get this bonus because they were working individually. They were each trying to attack you by themselves. So no bonus. Okay. the other thing, and I'll put this up on the wiki. I just want to get it out there because I'm having trouble wording it. So I want to make sure you understand it. You can do a full defense movement, which will give you a plus two to your roll, but no matter how well you roll, you cannot inflict injury on the person that you're rolling against, because your stated action is to avoid all injury yourself. So you cannot create injury in the other person. The opposite of that, you can go full attack, which is you get to add two to your roll, but none of your dice count against canceling out what they may do to you, which is a much more risky proposition.
Yes.
Gotcha. That's something you really only want to do if you're like, if A, the enemy is important, and B, you're pretty sure you're going to finish him off.
Yep. Or you're going to die anyway.
Mm-hmm. Or you want to go out and you blaze it.
And that's the other thing I wanted to talk about is consequences. There's no real death in this game since you really have the ability to decide how you're taken out yourself. When all your boxes are full, you take one more damage on top of it. So all your boxes are full and you take one more damage. You have the choice of being taken out where you say, okay, you've won and I'm out and this is how I'm out. So like if you are taken out in a gunfight, you can say I was left for dead, but you're not dead.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have the choice of taking consequences so that you don't take any boxes of damage. Let's say the 2 points that you would have taken there, Daniel. Instead of taking those 2 points, you could say, I'm going to take a minor consequence and say, he grazed me and my arm doesn't work so good for the remainder of this scene. Okay? You would not take any boxes of damage, but now you have an aspect on you that says your arm isn't working that they can take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. And when do the checks and the boxes disappear?
The boxes disappear at the end of the scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, they're don't think of them as hit points because all they're doing is just kind of giving you pause, making you reconsider what you're doing. They're not damage. So they go away at the end of the scene. Consequences last for as long as the level of the consequence. So like a minor consequence is usually just a scene, but the major consequences could last until you figure out some way to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Like if you take a major consequence that your arm is blown off, well, you're armless until you can figure out a way to have an arm again.
That's right. Welcome to alchemy.
An important thing to remember with that is once you've taken a consequence, instead of taking your stress check damage, you don't get that consequence back until it goes away in some way, shape, or form. Everyone's allowed a minor, a medium, and a major. You get three, okay? Each one removes more of that those box damages, right? But if you take a major one, you can't use a major one again until you figure out how to get rid of the one you just used. The minor ones go away quickly. The medium ones go away after like a session or two. Just naturally they heal. But the major consequences, you got to figure out some way to get rid of that permanent aspect that was placed on you before you can use it again.
Gotcha.
Oh, and there is no difference between physical or mental challenges. You can be taken out just as easily in mental combat as you can be in physical combat. It basically means your character is just completely despondent, their will is broken, whatever, and you just can't go on. And
or they're just being ignored.
Yeah. And those three consequence levels, you have only three to use between the three different types of tracks, physical, mental, or social. So you don't get three for each track. You have three total for all three tracks.
Mm.
Yeah. So make sure that you're not wasting them just on the physical things, because if you lose in, let's say, social combat, for instance, it could permanently, like a major consequence in social combat could be your name is ruined. You will never be accepted into society. You may even have warrants out for your arrest. You could be accused of being, you know, whatever.
So basically major consequences are solved in plot.
Yes, yes.
Or by the other PCs pulling favors and the party coming to get various things.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. That's the idea. It'll take, like, you have to pay a lot in order to get that back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's talk about aspects, gaining and losing aspects. You can, at any time you want to, change an aspect you have and exchange it for another aspect. And that essentially means your character has reached some point in their, you know, in-game that they have made a radical shift in their personality. It's best to show this in-game that it has happened. But once you do, you can go ahead and exchange any aspect for another aspect. Every three games you play in, you may add one aspect to your total. So you start with six. After three games, you can have seven, three more games, eight, etc.
Right. And you get another refresh because it's one per aspect, right?
Exactly, yes. Okay. So you get
I'm assuming this has a reasonable limit based on the GM's sanity.
Yep.
How many was Bert handling?
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, you start with 10 in Spirit of the Century.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, to be able to get a whole – and remember, we're only playing this every other week, so it is going to take a while to be able to build up to a lot of aspects.
We were playing this every week.
No, every other.
Every fortnight.
Because I want to be able to play in games too, you see.
Yeah. So every fortnight.
So – how did you guys feel about the game? Marcus, this is the first time I think I've gamed with you.
Yeah, first time I've gamed in a system like that isn't number crunchy.
I like it. I like the setting. I've never played in a steampunky setting.
Me neither.
I've always wanted to. Like to Zeppelins and biplanes are like... That is my passion. That is like... It is really awesome, like a world to play in, and there aren't a lot of games sort of take place in there. So, like a Crimson Skies, we played that video game. That's that kind of thing. Like But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. It reminds me a lot of do you draw a lot from China Mieville's books at all?
I will. I will get to what I felt did not go well after you guys have a say, and then I'm going to ask you suggestions on how to make that go better next time. But so go ahead.
No, I mean, that's pretty much all I had to say.
All right.
I enjoyed myself. I've just learned that I apparently cowards never work in groups, it seems. Because I actually created him as not being the combatant, and then it's like, yeah, maybe combat skills would be a decent idea.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessarily wrong. I think both Wallace and Drina would have, you know, may have already known that about your character's personality.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And this is like a continual ribbing at your character, like, yeah, you need to man up some.
Yeah.
But I don't like his wallet has been replaced by a note. Man up.
Yeah. God damn it, I'm poor already.
But that's fun. That's a fun, yeah. You know, it's a character thing. I like it.
Yeah. So,
okay.
It may take a little bit so that I'm able to at least defend myself in the next barroom brawl.
Or when the women's husbands or significant others come after you. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
Kartianos, any comments?
I liked it. I've never played in steampunk before, like Abel.
Mm-hmm.
I find it refreshing, and my only comment is, make it once a week, damn you.
All right. Well, some things that I'd like to work on, and I don't think I did a good enough job of getting the steampunkiness across. I will work on that. I don't know. There are things that I feel that I can work on to make that more apparent. I've got to work out the history a little bit better. I keep putting in placeholder names like it's going to Germany. You know?
Yeah, I know exactly how you feel. That's actually one of the reasons why I'm delaying till January before I start my game. Cause I kind of want an open world where literally, okay, I throw my players in and instead of doing the episodic, like kind of have a little bit, but that's me describing my thing versus yours.
Two, I think I led you guys way too much. And that was more of, I just had a 3 to 4 hour session planned and I was just trying to keep to that schedule. I'm not going to worry too much about that next time. I'll just let it develop as it develops and try to, instead of leading you too much. Definitely got to get the recording stuff figured out. I think, Abel, I'm going to need the file from you, as I think I've only recorded your guys' half of it and mine is gone.
Yeah, I know how to, I've had that problem before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know how to fix it. It's just the microphone that I'm using just stopped working too many times and it killed the recording that I was doing. I'm separating my track from your track so that I could level it out better, but I lost my track in the process.
Nice.
Yep. I will put more information up on the background of the history on the wiki. You should look at it occasionally. Mm-hmm. One of the nice things about the wiki is underneath each page, there's a GM section where I can keep notes for myself so I can track how many games you played in, you know, what I've awarded you, et cetera. So I can, it's an easy way for me to bookkeep. But, hopefully I will have, more and better for you in, 2 weeks. Also, please do, RSVP or at least sign up that you want to or can play for each session.
When's the next session?
Not next week, but the week after.
So that'd be November 14th?
Let's see, 31st. Yes, November 14th.
Sign me up.
Sign me up too, but as usual with me, there's only a 90% chance I can make it.
Yep. Two of my sharks actually showed up on Skype, but I didn't want to bring them in, so we may have more. I prefer to keep it to four people. I can do five if I really feel ambitious. But I don't want more than that at one time.
Gotcha.
Yep. Oh, and the other thing, of course, is I'm trying to – there's like three different virtual tabletops I'd really try – like to try and get working. This works okay. The Vassal is okay. I'm hoping the iTabletop, the web-based version, will work for everybody. That's the one I really want to use.
I'm just hoping for – I just can't wait till we finally get to a social situation, considering that's what I'm optimized
yes,
for.
Yes, yes. Social combat is fun. I want to hear how people decide to be use consequences to be taken out. That will be fun.
Oh, I have.
I kind of impromptu did that to you tonight. You lost that conflict in your consequences having to take her out to a big dinner. But
oh no, no, actually, I figured it was a fair trade. I figured I was going to have to trade something. So it was kind of like, yeah, this is what I expected. This isn't something, you know, not amazing that I have to worry about.
I did not mean to paint your character as a womanizer. I just figured with all your contacts and
yeah, I figure I probably. Yeah, I just, I'm more of like, I'm just, my guy isn't a heavy drinker. He's just, you know, I was thinking of him more as a light drinker instead of the heavy. I don't remember her name, probably because I.
Well, it's just for the cause of humor, really.
Yeah, actually, with not remembering her name, it actually made sense. She was so damn boring.
Yes, there you go. You never asked, so you didn't remember.
Actually, I didn't want to ask because it would be improper. She's going to slap me if I ask.
I figure
I learned her name when she introduced herself because I wasn't. I accidentally made an accidental social faux pas forgetting to introduce her to the guy who I supposedly know, and she had to introduce herself.
One more thing on the website at the Obsidian Portal site. I'm sending invites to everybody. Make sure you accept those because I think you can only edit the wiki if you are a member of the group.
Yes, I know that because I haven't been able to. Yay! Yeah, well, I have four boxes.
It would be awkward if random people could edit anybody's.
Yeah. Yay, I'm happy. I now have a fourth box on my face. Because I just added another point to presence.
Yes. Well, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you allowing me to shake this down and get the ball rolling.
No problem. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Mm-hmm. So... this is my first time actually playing in Fate, and I've read a lot of, well, I guess, except for the Dresden playtest we did.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to see Bert run that again. I love Dresden.
I'm a big fan of the books, and I'm still curious. It seems like they have a 90% of a game there. What is the deal? Like, are they... is there something particular they're trying
that's
to...
That's it, Abel.
Yeah.
Your next game, Dresden Files. Go.
No, it's the reason it's not come out is because they're really good about not putting out a half-baked system, and the magic system is still flawed. They're still working
on it. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, because the magic system is really weird. In the books, they don't... I mean, he leaves a lot of mystery about how magic works. You know, like there's some principle that he throws in there, like about potion making, and I think the left hand energy goes in the left and out the right, you know, or maybe it's the other way around. But
yeah, as it is, it feels like it's a tacked on system, and it doesn't flow as well as the rest of the Fate system does. So I think they're trying to hammer that out to get it so that it's not intrusive to gameplay and it just flows more naturally. Which is something I want to remind everybody about. The GM in a Fate-based system or a Fudge-based system, I'm not the arbiter of the universe. I kind of direct you, but you create things in the game. Like, don't ever hesitate to decide you want to have something happen in the game, and I may ask you to pay a fair point, I may not. So you're, you know, that's part of the fun of the system is for you to just be able to say, this is so, and it is done.
I think I think I know what I'm going to start working on with this character. I'm going to start getting resources, have him start making money off these cases so that it actually feels like he's gaining some
resources. You realize, thanks to Wallace, you'll still stay at resource zero.
Nope. I spent a point on resources once. Yes.
So having resources at all mean you have a steady income and you can afford base things by the number you have. If you don't have resources, you never save money. You only have as much as you need and never more, and sometimes not even that.
Yes.
My character has an aspect related to that. He may have a lot of money on him or none. He doesn't save anything.
I'm looking at the stress tracks. When do you use will? Because space is obviously social and health is combat. When is will used?
Hold on. Let me pull it up. I got a breakdown of that on here.
It measures your ability to endure and carry on.
That sounds like it'd be more useful in a fantasy-ish game.
Yeah, will is used for if, for instance, you're doing a long distance running or something like that, or you're having to carry somebody out of a burning building and you're having to run down the stairs to do it. I might start asking you to take stress track damage to will. Yeah, it's that stability to keep trucking no matter what.
Oh, it's the determination to not leave Wallace behind.
Yes. Will could also be, for instance, for your character, it could be a drinking contest. You could count it as face, but you could also count it as will.
Look, I ended up with 3 in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I need to figure out some more aspects.
And there's nothing wrong with coming up in the middle of the game. If you're not full and you think of something, write it down.
And that was episode 1 of Steam, Steel, and Murder. Thanks to all the players that were able to make the session and remember. If you have an interest in this game as a player, you can sign up at obsidianportal.com and search for Steam, Steel, and Murder. Musical intro and outros were courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. See you the next time.